about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Open wide for Chunky.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Sweet girl, like, and I'm such a good catch. And I like people think like I'm surfacey or whatever, but I think when it comes down to it, just like the truth is that, like, yeah, you know, people are mean to me, you know, sometimes when because of the way I look, you know. And I mean, it sounds like so stupid, but like people hate me because I'm beautiful, you know, and that is sounds so horrible, you know, but like that is like a real thing, you know. And it's a curse as much as it is a blessing to be pretty. I mean, like, no matter what, like, there's a huge, like, prejudice and racism, and when it comes down to it, like, that's why, you know, this didn't work out, you know. It just because, like, if I would have just been a little uglier and a little less noticeable, yeah, really sad.
And now.
Look, first of all, women are not people. They are devices built by the Lord Jesus Christ for our entertainment.
Our feature presentation.
Who was that? I don't remember who that was. I'm too
pretty. That one goes back a ways. She was obviously on one of the dating shows. I think it...
Like The Bachelor or something? Or
a Bachelor or one of the MTV shows. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember either, but...
Her name was Audrey, and she was convinced that being too attractive was a curse. And don't I know it, sister. But I mean, her... Her problem was that she thought that's what stood in the way of her being with the dude, is that she's just too pretty and it was just too tough for him.
I think we need to do that call-in topic again at some point.
Where hot women call in and tell us why their
too
lives
attractive
are so awful.
Is yes. A curse.
Well, I mean, we have heard, and I guess there is some truth to this, that they do not get approached as much as less stunning women because people think, hey, that chick's out of my league.
Right, but how do you ever get to a point where you don't feel self-conscious about those words coming out of your mouth?
Yes. I really, even if you think it, right?
Right, you think you're hot, you think it's a curse, but when you're saying the words, if I was less attractive, this would work. How do you not feel like an a-hole with those words coming out of your mouth?
Because people are racist against
racist
pretty people.
That's true.
That is true. That is a good point.
We know that.
It's a good point.
And as we have said so many times on this show, if you think your life is tough being too attractive, try going through life like the rest of us.
Right.
Every problem that you have is not made worse by being attractive. I'll tell you that.
No, not at all.
We have just as many and ugly.
And ugly on top of it. Right?
So F you.
But clearly she was the right person to put on a reality dating show.
Oh, absolutely.
That's definitely who you are.
I just don't know how you get that out of touch with, you know, friends. I mean, you say that around anyone and they would start mocking you.
I know this sounds bad, but it's like,
right,
she
that doesn't help.
Aware.
That doesn't help.
No.
Stop saying it.
And the truth of the matter is almost everybody has something about them that they could point to and go, well, that's what's holding me back. I mean, there's no one who's perfect, right? So, right. You know, Kevin's got the enormous melon, for instance. Nothing he can do about that. I'm freakishly tall, which puts me, you know, makes me uninteresting to many, many, you know, lots of chicks too, because I'm just too ridiculously tall. I mean, everybody's got something they can say, but you overcome that. And of all the things that you could have that might turn some people off, being really, really hot is pretty much at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's dead
I could
last.
Live with it. I think I could trade everything else and live with that. I do.
You think you'd be all right being too
try
attractive?
Me.
I'd like to try it.
You'd really like to try me then.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. How about we've got some great calls on the line. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to join in for the Thursday edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
All right, get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a pair of passes for the 2010 Six Flags Magic Mountain season. You can go any day that the park is operating, and that is good times, my friend. Why don't we start, let's start with Tony. Tony's on line 3, calling the Kevin and Bean Show today with a question I'm sure is on other folks' mind listening to the radio right now. Hey, Tony, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo? Okay, so does anybody really care about the Winter Olympics?
When you say, does
seems
anybody...
Like a lot of people are watching.
When you say, does anybody, are you talking about you and your friends or us? Or are you talking about just anyone in general?
I'm talking like all my coworkers, all my friends. Nobody's talking about it. And I go, like, watch TV or go on the internet, try and stay in touch with the world, and I just feel like it's in the way.
Well, it is.
It has taken over.
It's like that guy on the car on the freeway that's going slower than everybody else.
Sure.
And everybody's trying to get around, and it causes congestion and frustration.
And you know, well, you don't want to be behind that car, but you don't have any choice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing. If you're not into it, if you're, you know, gay, then then it does seem like it's everywhere, because it's not like a movie that you have to avoid, or one TV show, or one election. It's everywhere all the time for 18 days or whatever it is. I mean, it's a huge media event, and you're right. It's almost impossible to avoid if you're not interested in it. But to answer your question, are other people into it? I mean, the ratings have been unbelievable for these Winter Games. It's it's the first show that beat American Idol, literally since the first day American Idol was on the air. So, I mean, that shows you how popular it is.
But that's just because of the women figure skating.
It could be. Although I think that night was snowboarding. But the skate, you know, figure skating is, I think, the most popular sport.
Yeah.
I have to go find MSNBC to find hockey, for God's sake, which is ridiculous. But that's the way it goes.
But it's over this weekend, dude. So then your life will go back to normal, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Hey, look, if you hate it, I can see how it would be driving you crazy right now, because it is pretty much everywhere.
I learned at a young age that I was kind of out of step when I would sit down in front of the Olympics as a kid, and I would, and my brothers would come through the house, or my mom or my dad or any
moved?
Of my friends. No. And I would say, hey, you want to watch the Olympic? Nope. No word. Nope. Walk on through. Hey, does anybody want to watch? The Olympics are on. No? Okay.
And I think this has been, I'm not as huge an Olympics fan as you are, but I think this has been a particularly good Winter Games, with a lot of great storylines and personalities and performances, too.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot to enjoy as well.
Yeah. There's been a lot of boring as well. All right. Let's go to Tom, because I love him. Hey, Tom.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, Lisa?
Hello, Tom.
Hey, you guys, I'm walking down Highland Avenue with a bunch of my coworkers going to lunch the other day, and I see this crazy dude walking with this mannequin, and
yes,
he could not wait to stop and talk about this thing. We're like looking at this guy like, what a freak, you know? There's like six of us.
Yes.
He stops dead in his tracks, and he's like, hey, check out my girlfriend, you know? It's kind of crazy. And we're like, where's her legs? One of the guys who doesn't even listen to your show is like, where's the legs? And he's like, oh, they're in storage.
Yeah. That seems to make sense to him.
Yeah, he's talking about her breast size and everything. What was so weird was, it was like it was attached to him or something weird, like at his waistline. And they had the same exact black, long black hair, all crazied out and like pale face.
That's our boy.
You ran into Duavid.
Yeah.
We love him.
The guy's name.
That's his name, Duavid.
And by the way, don't insult him by calling Clara his girlfriend, all right? That's his wife, man. They are married for life.
Yep.
Sorry, I blew up.
Yeah, take it easy, man.
Yeah, no, she's foxy, though. She's
kind of
foxy.
She's foxy,
I agree. She's definitely. And thank you, Tom, for helping us bring Foxy back.
As foxy as a mannequin with no legs can be, you know? There's a limit there.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Yeah, Duavid is real. We get that question all the time. People see him and they go, oh, I didn't know that guy was actually walking around with a mannequin. Yeah, that's his real life, and we love him for it. Let's talk to Dan, line 7, please, calling about probably the biggest story of the day yesterday. Yeah. Hi, Dan. Thanks for dialing in.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do? Boo? Hello.
What about the SeaWorld thing, or the Shamu? Or it wasn't Shamu, but...
Well, it's a killer whale.
It's a killer whale, yeah.
Yeah, it's a killer whale. I take my kids there all the time. We go sit and eat with Shamu. How would you like to have a trainer pulled down and watch that for dinner?
I would love to see it. I wish I'd been there, but I don't think it would. Yeah, of course you would have seen that, but I mean, look, they're called killer whales.
Yeah.
Now,
it's a miracle it doesn't happen more often.
What was the story on this one? It's been reported that it's killed more than one person. Is that the deal? It's a serial killer?
It's a serial killer.
It's just like jumping into a tank with a panda or into something with a panda. Everybody thinks they're all cute and everything, and then it goes nature.
Right, and they kill you.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, this whale apparently killed someone back in, what, 91 or 92 or something like that in Canada when he was living in, or she, rather, was living in Vancouver, B.C. And then SeaWorld bought the whale, and the whale has since been living in Florida. And I guess in 1999, there was another person who jumped into the park at night, overnight, and the next day they found the body in the tank with the shark. with the whale. They don't know whether the whale killed that person or if the person jumped in or fell in and froze to death or drowned or whatever, but the whale was swimming around with the person on her back.
Wow.
How about let this whale go? How about that?
I hope we don't blame the whale in that case. The dude that breaks in at night?
I don't think
so. Yeah, exactly.
Got what he had coming to him.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Dan. I appreciate
it. He's the Dexter of whales. He only kills people that deserve it.
Lisa, I have to tell you that as entertaining as the whale shows are around the world, and as much as I like people to be able to get up close and see those magnificent creatures, it does make you wonder if you're driving them slowly crazy by making them live in a tank when they're used to being in the ocean and being able to swim hundreds of miles a day.
I don't think there's any question about it.
It's pretty much a miracle that this doesn't happen more often.
I agree.
And by the way, yesterday, we have to ask Ralph how it works because he's the Aquaman expert. But does Aquaman summon the creatures from the sea to all attack at the same time? I mean, does he have that kind of power? Because yesterday, did you see the other story that happened, which was one of the world's largest fish tanks, the one in the mall in Dubai, developed a crack? There's 400 sharks in this aquarium. It's in a shopping center next to a Bloomingdale's.
No.
And all of a sudden, water starts pouring out of this. Thank God they're able to stop it.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine if it was like in the movies where the entirety of the glass breaks and everything gets loose into the mall?
Oh. That'd be awesome. And the mall filled up with water somehow. A main break.
400 sharks, 33,000 animals in this aquarium.
Whoa.
Including 400 sharks.
I mean, mall shark.
Seriously, right after the TV movie with the Sharktopus, tell me they're not going to do the Shark Mall movie.
You'll never go to the mall again. 21 forever.
Anyway, so I think that's what's happening. I think somehow Aquaman has sounded the signal, and the animals are the undersea animals are attacking.
Well, that's good news.
It's a good theory.
I think that's what should happen. The undersea animals need to give it a little back.
They do. It's time. It's their time.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amigo, shall we?
Okay. Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Apparently, a coworker very angry with us. We got to find out why. Lightning.
Oh,
Lightning's
really?
Our boy. What are you talking about?
Nope. Not anymore. Hates us.
Lightning's not our boy.
Very upset. Are hot dogs unsafe for kids?
Well, clearly they are.
Spencer,
they're a death trap. You can't just leave a kid alone with a hot dog on a plate. That's certain death.
Spencer Pratt on plastic surgery, which he's planning on getting pec implants.
Oh, my God.
Good times. Dustin Brown, the captain of USA Hockey. We're going to talk to
you
today.
Come on.
They are just running the table. It's great. So awesome. I mean, you can find it on CNBC, MSNB.
I turned it off while the other game was going on. The Finland game was going on last night to determine who USA plays next in the semifinals. Who ended up winning
I
that
did
game?
Not see that either.
Okay.
I didn't see it either. But at this point, it's all tough. So, we have Stana Katic, I believe is how you say her name, from Castle. Very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And personalized license plates. Why are people a-holes? We'll get into
Not that.
That
we're judging.
We'll get into that as well. And Dream Doctor coming up very soon, talking about when you have dreams of coworkers, which Lisa May has some good ones. Let me tell you that.
She has very
sexy dreams. So that's coming up along with Ralph Showbiz Beat. We'll take a quick break and come back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Woo! 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 551.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Red Hot Chili Peppers on the way. Rise Against an inexplicably drama coming up in the next few minutes. Right now, if we can wind him back up, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Hey, Ralph,
what are your Aquaman questions? Bring them. I can answer all things Aquaman. Arthur Curry, half man, half Atlantean.
Let us ask.
Later went on to become the king of Atlantis.
Right. We don't need that kind of detail back.
Has the power to communicate with all the marine wildlife.
Can he call them to action to attack humans?
Absolutely.
Really? Is that what's going on now between the shark and the tank in Dubai, you think?
Yes. That's exactly what's happening.
And the whale?
Aquaman is commanding sharks and whales to attack.
That's what I thought. Okay. My theory has been borne out.
He said, get one trainer in Orlando, and then attack some shoppers in Dubai.
Wow, that's quite a plan.
I don't know what his plan is, but it sounds sinister. We may have lost Aquaman to the Injustice League.
Oh, no.
We don't want that.
That's the last
thing. It may be time to make that movie, though, if it will mirror real life.
You know, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene Simmons.
About Aquaman communicating.
I was talking about Aquaman,
with the marine life.
That's right.
Lisa May, I'd like to have an intimate conversation with some of your fish, if possible.
File.
Some of your fish.
Wow. Really, Gene?
Really?
But at least he didn't headbutt me out of the way to get to that, to get right into that.
Yeah, how could he not release that gem?
Boom! I get hit in the head. I was like, well, at least it better be worth it.
You get hit in what was the urgency to get that on the air?
I'll ask Gene. He just ran away.
Well, he should keep running.
Yeah, he should. Not come back.
Not come back, exactly. Talking about comic books and comic book movies, apparently this week they are screen testing several actors for the role of Captain America. This is a character that has long been waiting a decent big screen version. There's been a few that are pretty awful, including one where Captain America was played by J.D. Salinger, the grandson. Not J.D. Salinger, he was the author, right?
I don't know.
Right.
Who just passed away, who wrote Catcher in the Rye. But his grandson played Captain America, Matt Salinger, and was horrible. So this is the big screen, big budget version of Captain America. So far, according to the Hollywood Reporter, names are being bandied about. Chase Crawford, Private Eye.
Wow.
Oh, he's on Gossip Girl, and he chases people, so they call him Chase. Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights. Not familiar with that show. Okay. Apparently was on basic cable someplace.
he's a good actor. Yeah. He's manly.
Mike Vogel from Cloverfield. Michael Cassidy from CW's Privileged. Patrick Pfluger from Brothers. Any of these names ring a bell?
No. What does Captain America do? What's his strength? How does he fight crime?
He was a scrawny little dude.
Until he got bit by?
No, who tried to join the war effort during World War II. He wanted to join the army and fight Nazis.
Okay.
And he couldn't because he was 4F. He was scrawny and sickly.
Too small.
Too small, too scrawny, too poor health.
Okay.
Couldn't do anything. So what they did was they recruited him, though, for a special secret government operation, which they had developed this super serum in order to develop super-powered soldiers.
Right.
And so they injected Steve Rogers with this serum to see if it would take.
Okay.
And it was like a super steroid. It took this scrawny, weak little dude and blew him up into the super-strength, super-powered Captain America.
Right.
And then the Nazis killed the scientist who developed the serum right after that experiment, so there was only one. There was only one super soldier. And that super soldier donned the costume of Captain America to fight Nazis and Japs during World War II.
And he was stuck that way for life now? No more going back to the little scrawny dude?
No, now he's Captain right. America. Now he's strong forever.
All right.
Then he got frozen in a block of ice, Kevin, and was thawed out by the Avengers years later. And that's why he's still around today, because he was in suspended animation. Glad you asked?
No.
Gene Simmons is back. Gene Simmons.
Didn't he make an appearance in one of the recent X-Men movies? Like just like a quick screen flash?
No, that was like a photoshopped still that was on the internet, but it never actually happened. But he's super powered, super strong, super speed, super athletic, and has a shield that is indestructible.
Okay.
So bullets bounce off anything? And you can throw it, too, like a frisbee and knock people's heads off and stuff.
Nice.
It's cool.
Does it come back to you?
Sure.
Like a boomerang?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. What good would it be if it didn't come back? You spend half your time running after your shield.
I don't know how this works.
That would be a poor use of superhero time.
I guess.
But the number one person on the list, going back to my story originally, The Office's John Krasinski, according to the story, is the odds-on favorite to land the role of Captain America.
That could be interesting.
Could it?
Maybe.
I don't
Could
see it.
If they went a little sense of humor.
Yeah, if they went cheesy slash sense of humor.
I don't want cheesy slash sense of humor.
I do.
I want Captain America kicking some Nazi ass.
Yeah, there's not enough of you.
There's a lot of me, my friend.
There are, but there aren't
those
enough.
The me's are filling the theaters of Avatar and Iron Man and all your other big blockbuster sci-fi comic book movies, little friend.
At what point does Captain America become afraid of the color yellow?
No, you're once again confusing him with the Green Lantern.
Sorry.
So anyway, we'll see this week who gets the role. But John Krasinski, I guess if he beefed up. Look, Captain America's like the ultimate all-American guy, like the all-American boy next door good guy.
So he would fit
and
that.
And Krasinski's got that vibe.
Sure.
And we all laughed when they said Michael Keaton was going to play Batman. Remember back in the day? And he's like, Michael Keaton, he's a comedian. He couldn't pull it off. And yet, look how successful that was. So maybe we'll be right, maybe we'll be wrong. We don't know. You know why? Because we don't know.
We don't know.
That's right.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Rashida Jones, speaking of The Office.
Oh, man.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah!
Try to bring that back.
For next hour, Psycho Mike, we're going to need Kevin's interview with Rashida Jones,
please. Oh, yes,
please. I insist.
Yeah. I'm not going to need
yes,
that
please.
So much.
She, of course, was in The Office, played the John Krasinski's girlfriend on that show for a season, and is now also can be seen this weekend in Cop Out. Plays Tracy Morgan's wife in Cop Out. I saw the movie last night.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Awesome.
And, what,
and of course, she's a regular on Parks and Recreation.
That's true. She's 34 years old today. Happy birthday, Rashida. Chelsea Handler is 35 years old today.
Bell? No.
Chelsea Handler?
I gotta ask first thing. You know, sometimes you guys.
Nope. She's 35. Ideal gift for Chelsea? Some jokes. You're looking to buy her something. Maybe you want to send over some of those.
They put her in Playboy last year, you'll recall. That's another
reason. You know what?
Because it confused me a little bit.
Put a lot of people in Playboy these days.
Okay.
Hardly the barometer any longer. Sean Astin is 39 years old today. Comedian Carrot Top is 43 years old. He is looking good.
Natural.
Yeah. His shoulders, that's natural. Mm-hmm. That is. Nancy O'Dell, TV host, is 44 years old today. And actress Taye Leone. Wife of David Duchovny, as well as being a talented actress in her own right. She is 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Thursday. We've got actress Stana Katic from the show Castle coming up later on today's program. I think Ralph may divorce his wife and propose to Stana today while she's in the studio. He's that excited about it.
Yeah, I think we need some security.
Looking forward to that. First, though, I heard this story on the radio this week, and I thought I was being punked. I really couldn't believe that after, 100 years, however long we've been eating hot dogs in this country, that somebody was coming out and saying that they're too dangerous to eat now and they need to be redesigned. I mean, look, I understand that you can choke on a hot dog. You can choke on lots of food. So if you're feeding it to little kids, you just cut it up into small pieces, right? The problem solved.
Sure.
I guess, then, but clearly kids are dying.
There are a lot of kids
who
are choking on hot dogs, which is the shocking part of this. Mm-hmm. To me, it's weird. According to a new policy statement from the American Academy of Pediatrics, the hot dog is a hazard for kids and should be redesigned.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this story, so we asked producer Alex to line up the guy referencing the story. Dr. Gary Smith is with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you this morning?
Well, do we have it right that you're calling for a redesign of the American classic food, the hot dog?
Yeah, I know a lot of people react that way when you talk about such a classic film, a food as the hot dog. But it is really quite dangerous for children, and we're really, really asking for someone to design a safer hot dog.
Now, would that help? I mean, just a different design would make...
Yes, absolutely. The problem is not with the hot dog in and of itself. It's the cylindrical design of the hot dog and the size of it that just really is... If you got a group of engineers together and asked them to design a more perfect plug for a child's airway, you wouldn't be able to do it. It's just so dangerous because of its size and shape.
Okay, what about my idea, Doctor, which is go ahead and have the kids cut it up before they eat it so that it's not one big piece of meat.
Whoa. You're asking for a lot of parental responsibility there. That's ridiculous.
We have to
somehow put this on the sausage and hot dog corporations and manufacturers. We've made requests for them to come up with a safety dog.
A safety dog?
Yeah, something that for the kids, preferably. We're thinking it should be in the shape and size of a shoe.
Of a shoe?
Yeah, that'd be hard to get caught in your throat if you had a big meat shoe. It would just stick right in your face, and you wouldn't be able to get in your throat.
But that defeats
probably
the purpose.
A loafer would be good, like a meat loafer.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of actually eating it?
No, you just take bite-sized bites off the loafer. You could eat, like, the sole or the heel first, and then the tongue of the shoe. A tongue on your tongue, if you will.
Sure.
Or just take the meat and just put it into a paste, and then just put it in a tube. Just have meat paste.
I don't want meat paste.
Oh, just grill me up some meat paste. Why don't you? We're going to the ballpark today.
No.
And you just get some paste and just put it on the barbecue and just have some nice fried paste.
So it'd be buy me some meat pasted Cracker Jack if we were going to the baseball game.
Oh, no, Cracker Jacks. No, those are dangerous as well.
What?
We've got an entire list of high-risk foods, popcorn, nuts, grapes, seeds, raw carrots, all just too dangerous for children to eat.
Grapes.
Okay, but things like carrots, I mean, those are very, very healthy for children, right?
No. No, not in that shape. Not with that shape and size. No. If you take the carrots and you knit them into a sweater, then okay. If you give your child a carrot sweater to eat, that's fine.
Who's ever... You can't do that.
Yeah, you got to take it. You got to grind the carrots up and make a thin thread out of them and then weave them into some sort of garment.
That doesn't seem like too much work
and
to you.
Have them eat a carrot like a carrot skirt or a carrot like a carrot like Afghan of some kind.
Carrot Afghan?
Yes, that would make it a lot safer.
Okay.
So you're talking about changes to the food preparation industry that would cost billions of dollars.
Yeah, we have to somehow engineer foods so that they're just larger so they don't get caught in children's windpipes.
Okay.
We'd like to see the shapes of things change. We'd like all grapes to be the size of a coffee pot. That would be good.
That's a big grape.
We would like seeds to come more in the size of like a pepper grinder.
Okay.
And all any kind of meat or any sort of food like that should just be just ground into relish.
Relish.
So you have like veal relish and, you know, fish relish. And everything would just be a relish. Because relish is easy to get down for the most part.
Does this sound good to you?
M&M's, for example, would have to be the size of fire hydrants.
That's a lot of chocolate.
It's not easy to fit in a bag. I know that much.
We've had a bizarre relationship with certain people on this program. One of them is our former producer, Lightning, who we still love.
Yes, absolutely.
But is crazy beyond all words.
Hey,
Lightning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just editing a video of Psycho Mike and Steve-O lighting farts on Loveline.
Yes. That's good.
I didn't know you had taped that. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Can we release that into the theaters? Make that a theatrical release?
Make it a documentary.
Yeah.
We're very sad, Lightning. By the way, Lightning is the guy who does the magnificent job with KevinandBean.com and KROQ.com. He does a great job. The dude is working 24/7, and it's a tremendous website, and you ought to definitely be checking it out because new stuff goes up there every single hour. You will definitely love it. But
down every single hour as well, so you never know what's going to be there.
One of the things that we missed the most was the regular feature that you started a few months ago where you were posting voicemail messages from Sam, the Armenian comedian. Now, as you know, Lightning, and I'll just briefly summarize for listeners who may not be aware of this, we've been asked not to talk to the Armenian comedian right now. Because he was arrested, and he's got a court date coming up, and they don't want us to get in there and muddy up the waters with the investigation. So we can't talk to Sam, but we understand he's still calling you and leaving voicemail messages, yet we don't ever get to hear him anymore. We're dying to know what's going on with the dude.
Right. And as far as I'm told, you know, I can't post those things either.
Right.
Mum's the word, right? Everywhere.
Mum's the word.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Let's bring that back.
I'm like 90, sorry.
So what's the story with him?
Well, so, I've been getting calls. He does wake me up. He takes me by surprise. You know, he called me from jail when he was in, and that was kind of a funny one because he was pissed at me. He's like, Lightning, you pulled me here. What do? You make me call Kevin Bean. And,
yeah.
You're mental. I didn't do any of that.
All right.
That's all you. And
let me back up a second, Lightning. Did you know he was in jail at that point, or was that phone call a surprise?
No, that phone call was a surprise.
Okay.
I had heard rumblings from Dave, but everyone's kind of kept it quiet, so
right.
I haven't heard, I just know through his voicemail messages.
Right.
The first one that I got actually a few days ago was, this is an emergency, emergency, call me back. Of course, I didn't call him back, because I never call him back.
Because he says that every time.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So it's never really an emergency. You know, he's got some kielbasa he wants me to try or something.
Right.
And, right.
And that's code.
And that's not a euphemism.
Yeah.
And so we kind of funny when he calls me from jail and he says, and I picked this one up. It's like 10:30 at night. I just put my kids down for bed on like Saturday. He's like, you make me come here. This is bad. He's like, I'm so pissed. I said, it's not me. I didn't do it. This is you. You're an idiot. Blah, blah. And then he goes on to say, well, okay, well, my wife is making a casserole, and you should come over on Wednesday.
What?
Yeah, so
he was over the whole being in jail thing in a hurry, it sounds like. And by the way, let me just interject here for folks who maybe haven't been paying attention. We didn't even call the police on Sam. Am I right about this, Kevin?
Yes.
The police heard him on the radio saying, I'm going to come down and blow up the radio station. It was kind of out of our hands at that point once he said that. And we tried to do everything we could to save his ass by saying, Sam, these days you can't make threats like that because they will be taken seriously because they have to be taken seriously. Look, nobody thought that the guy in Austin who was having trouble with the IRS was really going to burn his house down, get in a plane and fly it into a building. But there were people who knew that he was upset and could have given somebody a heads up, right? It's the same thing with Sam. I don't think he's a dangerous dude, but you can't be too careful these days because he's a little bit crazy.
So he was calling on the weekend, though.
Well,
and talking to I know he calls you all the time, but he was calling here, the station, on the weekend and talking to phone ops who didn't know him.
That was the big problem.
And
they wouldn't know how to take that. That's really freaky.
Calling in bomb threats, which you really, again, can't do these days. No. So we called Sam and we said,
would you like to take that?
And he said, not at all. No, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go further. And we said, don't do this, Sam, don't do this. And he just kept talking about how he's going to do it. Now, the word on the street, Lightning, I heard from Huggy Bear that you're upset at us. That somehow it's our fault.
Well, the word was disseminated that that you guys were the ones that were pressing charges, which I found hard to believe. And I was told that they kind of wanted you to push to press charges. And I was like, this is one of the most harmless guys ever. He's so baked out of his mind. Even if he knew the Armenian mafia, he couldn't get it all.
Which was one of the claims he was making, too, by the way. Listen, I agree with all of that. I agree with all of that. But he crossed a line, that in a sand where you can't do that anymore.
Right.
And we gave him a chance to take it back, and he wouldn't. And we were going to turn him in because we can't have him calling, random people on the weekend who don't know him, don't know anything about him, and making threats like that. That can't happen. So we were going to turn him in, and I think we would have been right to just because he can't do that.
Right.
But we didn't even have time because they heard it. They heard him on the radio, and they were contacting us already.
Yeah, I'm not defending his actions. Clearly,
I think he's
a tard. No, I'm not. But he's such an idiot. He's such an idiot that it's like I feel bad for him. I guess after knowing him for who knows how many years, 15 or something, I don't know. I feel like you guys know him, as well as I do.
Right. That's why we called him and we said, Sam, this is a problem.
We're trying to help you out here.
Let's correct it. You don't really mean to say that.
Right.
And we went through the whole, I swear, did you hear that particular morning, Lightning?
No, I didn't.
We were begging him to take it. We were like, you can't say that. You don't mean it. Take it back. And he wouldn't. And he made it worse. That's when he started talking about the Armenian mafia and their bombs placed everywhere. And, authorities these days don't like the words bombs placed everywhere. As a matter of fact, this break's probably going to be scrutinized someplace because of the word.
And just so you know, Lightning, and the listeners know, we're not pressing charges. We don't have anything to do with this. Once he's arrested, it's completely out of our hands. We're just trying to assist in the investigation as they request us to do. And they've asked us right now to not talk to the Armenian community anymore. Look, I hope the guy doesn't go to jail. I do think he's harmless, but I also think that he needed a little bit of a post 9/11 wake up call about what's acceptable and what's not in the 21st century.
I can tell you, you're right, and I can tell you for a fact he has no clue.
Yeah,
he's being brought up on felony charges. Like he is. I said, what are you in for? This is when he's calling me from jail.
Right.
And it's funny. This call is being recorded every 30 seconds.
Awesome.
And,
which you've had before.
Right.
Because of all of your friends.
That's right. Well,
calling him from jail.
Yeah. So I know what to say and what not to say. And I'm saying, listen, Sam, we're here. K-Rock is a radio station. We're going to help the detective. So I'm playing the politically correct thing. And, and Sam, I was like, Sam, what are you in for? What are the charges? I don't know. I said, do you know what you did?
No,
I don't know.
No, see, he's such a liar. He's such a liar.
I'm not kidding. Kevin, I think...
Do you know when the police called him, he didn't call him back? Do you know that?
No, because he was calling me with those... This is an emergency!
Right, but police calls you, I don't know. Return the call.
How does he not know that?
He was scared. Look, his son and his wife called me. They're like...
Light, here's the problem with a guy like that. He crazy, right?
Right,
we
sure.
can all agree on he crazy.
Yes.
At what point does crazy cross the line into dangerous?
Right.
We don't know.
With Sam, I don't think.
I don't think so either, but we gave him a chance to prove that wasn't the case, and he was stupid. And then the police heard it and contacted him. So, dude, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. I mean, I know we all agree he's stupid, but dangerous, I think, is where we draw the line.
We might draw the line. I would guess he's not. I don't know.
I think he's the Unabomber. That's what I think. I'm going the other way.
I think
we're lucky to be alive.
I think we just crossed the line.
I do think since having a few conversations with Dave the King of Mexico.
Wait, is it true? Let me ask a follow-up. Is it true that his wife left him in jail overnight again? Or for the first night or whatever? She wanted him to stay in jail.
Oh, yeah. We gave her
a nice break, actually, I think.
So he called her and she said, you can rot there for a day. I'll call you in a day?
That happened.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what does that tell you, Lightning?
Well, his wife left him there.
Well, she doesn't like the fact that for... And by the way, F you to all those K-Rock listeners that think this guy is a Ralph voice.
You know? Yeah, it's not a Ralph voice.
Not at all.
Sam is about as real as you get. And she is kind of perturbed after all these years.
Yeah, you think?
Well, that he keeps trying to be a star on the radio and the whole thing, and it's just not panning out. Well, I think it is panning out. I think he's...
Sure.
Yeah, but...
He's stronger than ever.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, we were hoping you weren't ticked at us. I hope you can understand where we're coming from. And, you know, we're just sitting back and waiting to find out what happens next. We're not allowed to talk to him. I guess he's got a court date in the middle of March or something, and I hope he gets a slap on the wrist, but also learns a lesson and is a little more careful with what he says after that.
I agree.
That's my hope.
I will say that I'm making a rave song of all of his messages.
Excellent.
Oh, can't wait. That's great.
Yeah, you're going to archive those, put them together, put them to a and then we can play it.
Omar and I are already working on it.
Fantastic. All right.
Hey, you're doing a great job with the website, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the air on the Kevin Bean Show today.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Garman joins us now for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Last hour, we were talking about Captain America, the movie, coming to the big screen. Soon to be seen near you, and it looks like John Krasinski is in the lead to play that role.
Right.
Well, another cartoon character is going to be thrown up on the big screen. Yep. Speedy Gonzales. The movie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You ready?
Okay. How can they make that in this political climate?
That's a good question. Here's the thing. For those of you who don't remember, Speedy Gonzales was a cartoon character, Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes character, that debuted in the 1950s. And originally, he was sort of the nemesis of Sylvester the Cat. Sylvester, remember him?
Right.
Speedy Gonzales was the fastest mouse in all of Mexico. And he was a little mouse who would wear a sombrero and bandoleros and go, arriba, yaja, yaja, and run really fast.
Right.
And his name was Speedy Gonzales.
Right.
Well, the Mexicans didn't think that was so funny.
They didn't?
No. And so they stopped featuring Speedy. Racist Speedy. And now apparently he's coming back. It's going to be a half-animated, half-live-action film like Garfield.
Okay.
Where Speedy befriends a shy race car driver and helps him learn how to be fast.
That's not...
No hablo retardo, Speedy Gonzales.
That's not...
But it gets better.
Well, that's
the
not...
The voice of Speedy Gonzales? Anyone want to take a gander?
George Lopez.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still surprised by the news, but it puts us one step closer to the Amos and Andy movie, which surely must be coming immediately afterwards.
By the way, Speedy Gonzales' lazy cousin was Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Oh, wow.
No word whether Slowpoke will be appearing in the feature film or not.
Carlos Mencia.
Gotta be, right?
If I was a Mexican actor or comedian, I'd be so angry that that Hollywood only seemed to think that Carlos Mencia and George Lopez are the only two Mexicans working.
Yeah.
Why do these guys get all the gigs and have none of the talent?
By the way, if you end up getting in Sharktopus, as we all hope you will, and there is a Facebook group to get Ralph in the Sharktopus sci-fi movie, please check it out. Then we have to turn our attention to getting Dave the King of Mexico as a bit player in the Speedy Gonzales film, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He has to be in that.
He could be Slowpoke Rodriguez, for all I care.
Let's just remind everybody, too, Carlos Mencia, Mexican, like I'm Mexican. His name is Ned Holdsen.
That's true.
I mean, at least George Lopez is legit.
Yeah, he's too legit. He's too legit to quit.
I knew it.
What?
File.
Yeah, but at least the people from behind Garfield are behind this film, so it makes me feel more comfortable.
You hated that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, everyone did.
All right, so it's good then.
Hope there's a squeakle afterwards. Nicole Scherzinger, speaking of race car drivers, is back to dating her Formula One racer boyfriend, Lewis Hamilton. The two broke up a few weeks ago, but apparently seem to be madly in love once again. London Sun tabloid caught up with the attractive couple here in Hollywood, California, and had some photos of them. And apparently they were doing shopping for a wedding gown, if rumors are to be believed.
Oh. Really?
If you're a Formula One race car driver, you never date an ugly woman ever.
No, of course not.
No.
I don't think you have
absolutely
to.
Absolutely not. You, it's impossible. I think it's in the rules.
Yeah.
If you're a race car driver, you have to have smoking hot girlfriends.
That's true.
And Nicole Scherzinger certainly qualifies.
Now, wasn't she palling around with Gerard Butler down in South America or something last week?
That's what I heard.
She's getting around.
As she should.
Yeah. Bruce Willis has a new movie coming out this weekend called Cop Out, starring Tracy Morgan as well as Bruce, and he is doing a lot of press for it. And one of the interviews this week, he said we can all look forward to yet another Die Hard film.
Really?
Anyone looking forward to Die Hard 5?
I liked four.
I liked four a lot.
Yeah.
Fun.
I thought three was weak.
Three was weak.
But four I thought was fun.
Yeah.
So apparently Len Wiseman, the director behind Live Free or Die Hard, the fourth film, will be behind the cameras again for Die Hard 5. So that's encouraging.
Good.
And Bruce said he's looking forward to reprising his role as Detective John McClane. So, look, I'm a sucker for those movies. I'll go
Me
see.
Too.
As long as they keep making them, I'll keep going.
And he loves being a cop, so.
He does. He
keeps working.
We used to wonder when these action stars from the 80s, the Bruce Willises and the Mel Gibsons and the Sylvester Stallones and those guys would retire. What would happen when they got old? Well, mm-hmm. The truth is they're going to continue to make movies just like they did until they die.
I'll tell you something. I saw a cop out last night. And Bruce Willis, I don't know what he is. He's pushing 60, right? He's 50?
Gotta be. 50?
Gotta be, yeah.
Guy's in amazing shape and looks terrific.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's absolutely believable as a cop in this movie, 100%. So it's not like he's, you know, you're stretching the, credulity. You know, it's not the suspension of disbelief in order to have to worry about him being a cop. It absolutely plays.
He's not Pacino.
Yeah, he's not Al Pacino, exactly.
Right.
You walk through New York and look at those cops and you go, wow.
Yeah, right.
I could outrun
You don't think
of
they're
them.
Real cops. Willis looks like one. Right. These guys are just the donut bags. Today's celebrity birthday, Rashida Jones, who also stars in Cop Out.
And
what?
And...
Oh, and I forgot.
Had a special request.
That's right. I forgot. Well, we talked to Rashida Jones back when she was on The Office.
I don't remember this at all.
And she played John Krasinski's love interest there for a short time on the show. And Kevin had an in-depth, hard-hitting interview with Rashida Jones. And it went a little something like this.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's like four sentences put together.
I know, it's hard to believe, but she'd really have an answer for that question. When Stana Katta comes in from Castle, maybe you just want to just
back off a little?
Just enjoy. Just sit back, you know, play the role of the audience and see how, you know, see how it goes. I'm just saying.
I'm not good at that.
She hasn't even come in yet. You're already worried that we're going to screw it up and she won't come back, right?
Yes, because I love her, and I've watched every episode of Castle that's been on the air. I'm the Castle fan.
Right.
And I don't want to burn my bridge with Stana the first time I meet her.
Well, okay. You're dumb for bringing her into this environment.
And the
then.
Wife's been warned. She knows it's coming. So it's all the brakes are off.
All right.
I'm a Toyota Tercel going downhill.
Is that good? With no brakes?
What? Well, they're just out of control.
They're recalled.
They're recalled.
Yeah. All right. Toyota. Make sure I got it.
Yeah. Chelsea Handler's 35 years old today. Sean Astin is 39. Carrot Top is 43. Nancy O'Dell, TV host, is 44 years old. And Tia Leone. Is it Taya or Tia?
I think it's Taya.
I think it's Taya.
Taya Leone.
Yeah.
A very talented actress and wife of David Duchovny. He's 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of show still to come. Right now, though, we want to check out with the Kevin and Bean Afroline, which is a voicemail that we have set up for you 24 hours a day at 323-520-AFRO. God bless our listeners. They do think of us as at the weirdest times. They call, leave messages. We play them back on the radio.
Okay, listen, Kevin and Bean. The only thing worse than turning on the TV and seeing curling nonstop is listening to your show and hear you guys talking about curling nonstop. Shut up.
That's some more of that. Okay, noted.
Right. But how can you not talk about curling? I mean, the fact that it exists is so incredulous to us, much less exist in the freaking Olympics with actual sports. How do you not continually think or talk about that?
I have audio that I have to play.
So
at
we're
some
not
point.
Really noting it.
No,
we're ignoring it.
we're ignoring it.
Because you know, to us, it's stupid, right?
Yeah.
So you would think that in the rest of the world, like soccer, for example, it's huge. Not the case. So why is it anywhere? I'll play some audio a little bit later on.
Okay.
First, though.
Yeah, I just went to Ralph's and I was really bummed out. They were out of Old Spice in the soft drink aisle. Because I mean, you know, there's nothing better than kicking back with a tall, refreshing glass of Old Spice. Right, Bean?
That's my takeaway from the hilarious commercials I'm on a horse lately, is that Old Spice looks like a delicious beverage.
Lightning! Stop it! I don't care how much bok choy you can buy. How much to buy a douchebag to shut the hell up?
That'll cost you.
More than you have, my friend. Sorry, more than you have. Ralph's been very excited about Sharktopus.
No, wait. Ralph, I got a better idea, okay? Picture this. Dr. Achilles Hardigan takes on Arachnodactyl, a giant spider with the head and wings of a pterodactyl. God, that'd be so sweet.
That does sound like a sequel waiting to happen.
Yep. Shoot the scores! How about the basketball game? I'm Anderson. No, I've never worked with her.
That's the great Leslie Nielsen, who we have talked to many times and is less coherent than he used to be.
Mm.
He's wandering into Kevin territory.
I'm going to throw panties at Lisa May.
What? I didn't catch that one. What'd she say?
Something about panties.
He's something about panties.
And does a child.
Is where we'll leave it.
You know, in baseball.
Now, here's something that has been happening a lot more lately, and this is people try different things to pick up Lisa. So they come up with creative stories or tie-ins, right, or speaking
creative
of...
Creative in quotes?
Yeah, in quotes, of course, yeah. But I think this guy accomplishes it.
All right. You know in baseball when you slide in the third head first and you wrap your hands around the base? Hi, Lisa.
You know, that was not bad.
That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
One of these days, somebody's going to call, leave the right message on the Afrolight, and maybe that was it. And Lisa's going to wish that he'd left a phone number.
Maybe it's this one.
What?
I don't want to know.
I'm just guessing here, but I think he was thrown up.
I think. Oh,
God.
I think that's what's happened. I couldn't tell. And I don't have any other...
I'd stop making that gesture.
...information, but here's a request.
Yeah, hi. I like to listen to Omar's rendition of What You Waiting For by Gwen Stefani. Thank you.
Haven't heard that in a while.
Mm-mm. No kidding.
That's good stuff.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
Yeah, that happened.
Why would somebody want to hear that again?
I don't know. I don't know what would have... Maybe she was listening to Gwen Stefani and thought about it? I don't know. I have no idea.
That's like, hey, come over here and hit me in the head again.
Yeah. We have interns here at the radio station, and one of them is named... Stephanie, and she has a voicemail that we were mocking the other day because it seemed to go on forever.
Hey, this is Stephanie. I usually don't answer my phone, so don't take it personally. And I'm starting to turn off my phone at night so I can actually go to sleep the whole time. But,
And then she goes on and on and on and on and on about what she's doing and why she turns her phone off and how to leave a message.
It really is 10 minutes long.
Really, the voicemails don't need to be that long.
Yeah.
Because people are familiar with the process.
Hi, this is Stephanie. Listen, I'm not really, like, answering my phone much these days, so I, like, turn it off so I can get all the sleep. But listen, sometimes if I leave it on and you call, a lot of the times I use the same ringtone for my sleep alarm. So listen, when you call and I don't answer or put you right to voicemail, it's because I thought you were my alarm and I'm snoozing you. But leave a message and I'll get back to you and then I'll return your message or text or email or Google Talk or Twitter or Friendster or Morse code. Or smoke signals. Bye.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, getting a lot of love on the email, by the way, and on the Kevin and Bean Facebook group today about Stana Katic, who's joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, a lovely actress from the TV show Castle. She is coming in. I think Ralph just went home to shower and put on a suit and shave and come on back with some flowers. So anyway, she'll be with us next hour. Right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Spencer Pratt joins us from
all
the
right.
Hills. Hi, Spencer.
Thank you for the applause. How are you?
It was not genuine.
Feeling sick right now.
Are you?
Looking good, feeling good. You look good, Kendall.
Thanks, Kevin.
And might I say, Laura looks very good as well.
Yeah. Really?
Lisa. Yeah.
Wow, like, what's going on? Why are you in such a good mood today? Usually you hate everyone.
Unusual. Well, I enjoy your shoes. Are those Yves Saint Laurent?
No.
They're probably knockoffs. I thought so. I'm rich. How are you?
Spencer, we got a couple things we need to talk to you about here. First of all, speaking of being rich.
Yeah.
Your wife's album that you spent $1.5 million of your own money on was a colossal flop. So you lost every penny of that. And now I understand that you've invested in an iPhone app. Is this some way to try to make some money back that you've lost from Heidi's Records?
No, it's just something I did while I was up in Vancouver competing over the last couple months. By the way, thank you for all the gold medals that I won. Yeah, ice dancing, slalom. And, don't pat me on the back. It's okay.
You didn't do any of that.
We're friends. I don't need it. But it's something that I invented while I was up on the slopes.
Yeah, you didn't do any of that.
And
you were not in the Olympics.
My iPhone app is probably the best ever. It can cure cancer.
No doctor can even cure cancer.
Lord,
much less
look at me in the eyes when I tell you that my iPhone app, it turns your urine into diamonds.
Well, that would be painful.
Yeah, by the way, what are you doing after the show?
What is up
Take
with
it easy.
You?
What's your deal, man? What is the app? What's the app for real?
This I was just cancer. Curious because have you had the Belgian endive salad at Drago? Great.
No.
All right, Chief. All right, Chief.
No. The app. What does the app do?
Well,
for reals.
It will make you more fertile.
For reals.
Yes, it helps you lose weight.
Okay.
It helps
so
you grow
it's just,
hair.
It's just more BS from Spencer
Pratt. It will stop the economic crisis here in the United States of America.
Okay, so the app doesn't do anything. It's just some way for you to talk about how great you are.
It helps with frown lines.
Okay, speaking of which, now that takes us into another conversation.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Plastic surgery is the latest on the table. It was it was Heidi with 10.
Oh.
10 plastic surgeries.
Yeah, and actually that's a very touchy subject. Can we take a moment to pray?
What are you talking about?
To pray? Why? You know your wife got 10 plastic surgeries.
Dear Lord and Ed Hardy, we pray. My wife, Heidi, the beautiful Aryan queen, may she recover from her heinous mistake of too much plastic surgery.
See, that's the story, is that you weren't behind it. None of us believe that.
And I'm not.
You didn't push her to get plastic surgery?
No.
Please.
You're the one who always tells every woman they're not perfect.
I'm talking, and the last thing I need is to be interrupted by a woman. Know your place.
Her place is above yours in the food chain, my friend.
Her place is above mine if we were in the bedroom.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know if my pelvic girdle could hold that much weight.
Come on.
The Slim Fast. Now, let's get back to the topic at hand.
Okay,
Kevin,
plastic surgery.
Where did you get that hoodie?
You were behind.
Spencer, you clearly pushed your wife into getting plastic surgery because you did nothing, I'm certain, of berate her for every tiny perceived imperfection on
You're
her body. Because that's
right.
That's how you are with women.
Well, of course. Okay? They should be submissive to their man. I read it right there in the Bible.
Oh, man. That's
it says, from thou ribbeth you cometh.
That's not even... There's so many things wrong with that.
And listen... Plastic surgery is reserved for the ugly, the overweight, and minorities. Heidi, none of which is she.
So what's your point?
Want to try that again?
So I'm saying she didn't need that. I understand she may have felt immense pressure to live up to the standards that Spence Daddy has provided for her.
Okay.
I mean, look at me. But what I've done is I've said that I am now going to think about going in to get some plastic surgery just to make her feel better about herself.
That's the follow-up story, is that you're going to get plastic surgery.
I may be too perfect. My imperfections, my shortcomings are that I am godlike, a demigod, if you will. And people don't need that rubbed in their face every day when they see Spence Stalk. It was shining. Okay, rolling down the street in his BM or his Bentley, top down Hollywood Boulevard. When they see me coming blang blang, they don't need to see that. They don't need to have that rubbed in their face. It makes them feel worse about themselves. And that's not what I'm trying to do. Spence Talk's about the love. Spence Talk's about bringing the love out of people, making them feel like better people.
I would like to suggest that making other people feel bad is all you do.
It's not my fault. It's
not my fault. Why isn't it your fault?
Because God, Jesus Christo above, my brother, catch up later. He made me look this way.
Okay.
He made me this wealthy.
What about the report that you...
It's not my fault. God hates other people. God made people poor.
He has nothing to do with you or them. Stop it.
Wow.
You're going to get pec implants. That's what we heard. Pec implants.
And a penis reduction.
Pec implants.
No, it doesn't say that, but it does say pec implants, and it does say a nose job and lipo. Is this true?
It's true. I'm going to add. I'm going to recorrect my nose because I have had it broken from all my fights in the UFC.
You've not ever fought in the UFC.
I've been the longest standing welterweight champion.
You've never been
Pride champion
in the UFC. You've never been in Pride
2004.
Never.
And my time is in the French Foreign Legion after I discovered boron.
Okay. All right, so you're having the nose job.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Because I designed the Humpty Dance, and I feel like it will help me on tour. Okay.
All right, look, clearly you've done a lot of research into plastic surgery because you directed your poor wife toward the 10 that she got. Now you're talking about getting a bunch of plastic surgeries. How'd you like to talk to some of our listeners about their plastic surgery questions? Because it seems like if there's one thing you know, it's what procedures need to be done
it's
to
true.
Get your body looking
it's
perfect.
It's true. It's true. After my time as a cucumber farmer, I was actually became a plastic surgeon, and I was Beverly Hills' foremost leading authority in plastic surgery from 84 to 92.
Never.
And then I switched careers. Renaissance man.
Okay. Let's shut you up, and let's open up the telephone lines for our listeners that want to talk to Spencer Pratt from the Hills at 1-800-520-1067. What kind of questions specifically are you looking for this time, Spencer?
Anything having to do with improving your beauty, your physical appearance, be it plastic surgery, skin care.
Plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery. Uh-huh. Surgery that is plastic.
Right.
So. Johnny wears costumes that I designed, by the way.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. You
I'm
call.
The head rabbi at the Bercia Synagogue in Biloxi, Mississippi.
With your questions about plastic surgery. And Spencer Pratt, the plastic surgery dispenser, will help you.
I'm a Rottweiler.
Okay.
Right now.
So you're too perfect.
You got it.
All right. Time for Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. Wow. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain. Some people say jerk. I mean,
tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
All right.
That's all right. Boxing right now. Oh, yeah.
I thought that would sound different.
Me too.
All right. Let's try Adam on line two. Great first question to get us started. A question for Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser. Hi, Adam. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Spence? Hey, my question is, what and how much does it cost for a breast reduction for men?
Breast reduction for men?
Well, it's a very involved surgery. What did you have for dinner last night?
What does that have to do with anything?
Chicken and vegetables.
And did you have that made for you by a personal chef, or did you go to, say, a Dolce Group or an SBE restaurant somewhere?
Chick-fil-A.
Next call. Next call. You disgust me.
Well, you're not answering
next
this question,
call!
Though. Okay. All right.
Chick-fil-A. Let's... Have you had the sea urchin ceviche at the Hy-Vee? Have you?
No.
Let's go to Chris on line five. See if you can treat our listeners with a little bit of respect. They're taking their time to call and ask you questions about plastic surgery. That's your area of expertise here, Spencer.
Right.
Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a question. You know, I know you're getting the whole ab thing done, or excuse me, the whole pec thing done, but are
correct.
You getting ab implants too? Is
no.
that something like us poor kids can get, like a sharper image? Or
no,
like...
I already have a 13-pack, so I don't need ab. Yeah, I have some weird extra ab.
How do you not
on
have
the
13
bottom.
Or 12?
Should have gone with an even number.
Yeah.
But listen, if you need some help in the abissimos, unlike Spence Dog, Spence Daddy, I suggest that you go ahead and you do it. What they do is they actually take a reciprocating saw and they chop your body in half. When they get to the upper torso, they put some
this can't be possible.
Sulfuric acid on your abs until it melts away to the
bone. I can see his eyes.
Then
he's completely making this up.
Then they reattach it so that you are sub 0% body fat. And then...
Okay, that's not how it happens at all, Spencer. Thank you for the call, Chris. I'm sorry you had to sit through that. Let's try Daniel. He's on line two calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, you're on with Spencer Pratt, the plastic surgery dispenser.
Yeah, I want to get my butt big, nice, and tight.
Yeah.
How much is it?
How much? What'll that cost him? What'll that run, Daniel?
$1.7 million.
Well, who are you? Hey, listen, man.
That's a good point.
All right, thanks for the call. There's no surgery of any kind that costs $1.7 million. Is there, Spencer?
Yes. If you're going to the best, Dr. Musa in Beverly Hills, it's $2.6 million
just
making
up
just for a consultation. Look in my eyes.
Just for a consultation.
Check it.
All
check
right,
it.
Let's go to Kevin. I think he has a good
question.
I once
got busy in a Burger King bathroom, kid.
Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, guys.
Yes.
Morning,
yes.
Hi.
Spence Dog, yo.
Yeah, what's up,
I
kid?
I want to know what medical procedures I would need to get to be as cool and look as cool as you.
Well, first thing you need to do to be as cool as Spence Dog is get a little surgery to increase the size of your wallet. You know what I'm saying? Making
if
money,
that's
kid.
That's already increased. That's
it is?
Already increased.
Do you, you're a wealthy guy?
Just way too much money. I don't even know what to do with
all
that.
Right, good for you, good for you. Okay, I feel a connection with you.
maybe we should hang out sometime.
No problem. Friends. Lay due tonight, 10 o'clock. I'll be there. I know the bouncer. Meet up with me beforehand. But if you want some surgery to look like me, first, have your skin lightened.
How do you know what his skin looks like?
I'm guessing.
Okay.
And then you get yourself a golden-style neck beard. And you have that just pasted onto your neck.
Ew.
And so then
what are you talking?
Then get yourself an Adam's apple implant so that you can have my bulbous racquetball style.
It is kind of freakish, your Adam's apple. Thank you for the call. Let's take one more. Let's talk to a woman. We got Sarah, who is brave enough to call Spencer.
God,
so please, if you treat her with some respect, she's got a legitimate question for Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser. Go ahead, Sarah.
I was listening to the radio on Monday morning, K-Rock, in fact, and I heard my boyfriend tell everyone that I had a muffin top, and he makes my belly talk in an Australian accent. And so
we were asking for people to give us ways that they failed at telling their significant other to lose weight, and he said he used your stomach, and he did a voice, hey, I need to lose weight.
Yeah,
crikey,
something like that.
And it was awesome, and he's awesome.
So anyway, I was thinking about liposuction and a tummy tuck. Who can you recommend?
All right, Spencer.
Girl wanting liposuction, yeah. Doctor, I would recommend Dr. Kevorkian.
what are you talking about?
You don't have any place on this earth.
What are you talking
Listen,
about?
Kendall, it's just like James Joyce told us. All we are is dust in the wind, okay? You know what I'm saying?
And they make it your way, all right?
I've got a couple Big Macs in my pocket. It's time for action.
Okay.
You, madam, it's a personal affront to me that you even talk.
Okay.
I can even hear your voice in my
this
head.
This has been Spencer, the plastic
Check
surgery
out my
dispenser.
Sweater, John Paul Gaultier.
Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser. Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser. Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser. Spencer, the plastic surgery dispenser.
Frankly, I'm surprised Ralph is even in the room right now.
I know.
I'm surprised you're not on the other side of that glass right now, our guests.
If I could be, I would be. Trust me. I got to spend time with you, yahoos, instead of spending time with my beloved.
Yeah.
From the smash hit Castle on ABC, beautiful actress Stana Katic is in the next room, and she will be joining us coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Right, showbiz first, though. Showbiz.
Yeah, whatever.
Hard to concentrate, I'm telling you.
I know.
You know, I love that show.
I know you do.
See, never
you
do.
You're the guy.
It's funny that you have to wait for you to get to her.
I know. I'm my least favorite part of the show right now. And usually it's the opposite. Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away to the Pally Fest 2010 Television Festival. It's one of my favorite times of the year. Great lineup this year, by the way, for all the TV shows past and present that the Pally Center is paying tribute to. You can go to pallycenter.org for more information. Pally Center used to be the Museum of Television and Radio. They've been doing this for years where they give you a chance to spend an evening with your favorite TV show, the cast and creators. All get together and they talk about the show and tell you how it came about and tell you some interesting facts behind the scenes, and then you get to ask some questions as well. So if you'd like to go for Breaking Bad, one of our favorite TV shows around here.
Oh, that's so good.
Bryan Cranston stars as Walter White on that show. Fascinating show. Great work over there on AMC. They're doing with original dramas. It is going to be on March 10th. If you'd like to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Breaking Bad, call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First 5 callers who get through, I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to go see An Evening with Breaking Bad. Great showbiz news. I couldn't be happier than to do the following story.
Excellent.
You know, for a long time now, I've been trying to get Adam West to star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'm happy to say that Palm Springs has stepped up where Hollywood has so miserably failed.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know this, but Palm Springs, since 1992, had their own Walk of Fame in Palm Springs.
No clue.
Mm-hmm. Largely for celebrities who have second homes there, who live there, spent some time in the community. Bob Hope has a star there. Frank Sinatra. I mean, just everybody. Elizabeth Taylor, Elvis Presley. So they've announced that they are giving a star to Adam West.
And it's as prestigious
star
as the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
1960s series Batman. Of course, you know him as the mayor on Family Guy as well. The 329th star will be
awarded to Mr. Adam West.
Well, if you don't listen regularly, Ralph showed up at his wedding in the Batmobile.
I mean,
yeah. He really loves the original.
And I'm happy to also let you know that Mr. West has requested that I do a little speech and present him with the award in Palm Springs.
Is that right?
How about that?
No kidding.
So I'll be.
When is that event, Ralph?
I will be paying tribute to Mr. West on April the 10th. This April the 10th in Palm Springs, California.
Wow.
So I couldn't be more pleased. It's like being asked to have one of your favorite sports stars induct you into the Hall of Fame.
I can see it now. An hour later, it's going to be going, wah, wah, wah.
And then in 1968, Adam moved from his home in Malibu, California.
Everyone will be gone. Adam will be gone.
Bought a larger house in Pacific Palisades.
Star will be in. Yeah, exactly. Moved on.
But I'm very pleased for him. It's a nice honor, and I'm even more thrilled that he asked me to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Please, if there's any way to film that so we can put that up on the website.
Nope.
I know a lot of people would enjoy seeing that
it's
as well.
It's not for you.
Oh, I don't think they'd enjoy seeing it, but we could mock it.
Not for you.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
I'm not going to have you put your stink all over my special moment with Adam West.
I'm just asking to see it. I'm not asking to be there. I just want to see the presentation. I'm excited for Mr. West.
Let's go and heckle.
Let's go and heckle.
Well, I will have security shoot you. And in Palm Springs, you can actually have that happen. It's like the Wild West out there in the desert. Anything goes.
That'd be awesome.
What if Kevin were to be giving the speech and he could talk about how Adam West peaked in 1969.
Your
about
career
that?
Is pretty much over in 69. Your life is over.
Didn't say that.
Yeah. You pretty much did. I got the tape right
no
here if
way,
you want to hear
time.
It.
We don't have time. I think we have time. Let me hear what Kevin said to my idol, TV's Batman Adam West.
Comment.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969? When was
Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
Come on, you don't say that to a man.
Maybe Kevin should give the tribute. I might be the wrong guy to ask. This guy peaked in 1968. I don't know why you're giving him a star.
That's not what I meant, really.
I need more granola bars.
That's not really what I meant at all.
It sure came out that way.
I know. A lot of stuff comes out that way, Bean. You know that.
Anyway, so that's the good news for today. Johnny Depp, talking about his new role in Alice in Wonderland, said he loved his Mad Hatter costume. Have you seen that outfit he wears? It's pretty wild. He said the only problem is when he walked out onto the set in his costume, Tim Burton would burst into hysterical laughter whenever he saw him. That's going to be unnerving when your own director is mocking you out loud while you're dressed up.
That's what you want from a director.
Although Johnny added it's probably the most normal costume he's ever had to wear in any Tim Burton movie, so he doesn't seem to mind at all. Is Renee Zellweger pregnant? In Touch Magazine this week. I think Renee's attractive.
For a girl who's farting.
I'm sorry, what happened?
She's got that fart face. She looks like she's like
she's
that.
Not
that's what she looks
beautiful,
like.
But she has an interesting
for
face.
Girl saying, she looks like.
I wouldn't call it a fart face.
It's just pre-fart. You know what I mean? Like, it's not working out for her the way she wants.
Anyway, photos in InTouch Magazine this week show Renee with a slight belly bump, leading people to speculate that Bradley Cooper's girlfriend may be expecting a child. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there, won't we?
Pretty much any actress in Hollywood who gains 4 ounces, all of a sudden the pregnancy rumors start.
Well, especially these actresses who have to stay so thin to do TV and film, a little weight gain can be very noticeable. So yeah, people do talk about it. And speaking of superheroes and TV and movies, Captain America is making its way to the big screen. Apparently this week is the week that Paramount Pictures will be screen testing several candidates to see who will take over the role as the star-spangled superhero. And apparently it's a short list. Chase Crawford has been mentioned. Scott Porter, Mike Vogel, Michael Cassidy. But apparently the guy who's got the inside track is John Krasinski, star of The Office. Now you may not think of him as a superhero, but Captain America is the all-American boy next door, and he's got that quality.
If they do it with a sense of humor, it would be perfect.
I think so, too.
I think he's got to bulk up a little bit, because Captain America's sort of a big, beefy fella.
Yeah.
And put on a suit. Suit of muscles.
That always looks goofy.
Yeah, well.
It looks lame. Anyway, Ralph, we'll see what happens this week.
There's not a lot of anticipation among non-comic book geeks for Captain America. Essentially, they are starting a franchise from scratch, right? I mean, it's a brand new character to most moviegoers, right?
Captain America is a pretty big character. A lot of people know Captain America. I think along with Spider-Man, he's probably the second biggest Marvel superhero character out there. Aren't you familiar with Captain America? You guys know who Captain America is, right?
But not compared to Iron Man and Fantastic Four and
stuff
like
that. Iron Man is lesser known, I think, than Captain America was.
Well, really? Until the movies came out.
Yeah, until the movie came out. Absolutely. Iron Man was.
I don't know anything about Captain America.
It's red, white, and blue. I'll give you a hint.
I'm just saying they got their work cut out for them. For most people, you kind of have to bring them up to speed on Captain America. They don't. They're not out there dying for a Captain America movie.
Wow, man. Why you gonna poop all over Captain America? Why you gonna bring us all down on Captain America? I like the USA. That's just me. I love America. Maybe that's just me. Maybe you're not that way. Being born in England at all, maybe you'd like Captain Britain to come along. Limey. Captain Redcoat.
Being is a foreigner. A lot of people don't know that.
That's true. What it is. Sorry about that whole Tea Party thing, mister, but that's the way we roll. 1776. What's up?
Tea. Bagging.
Okay. By the way, Stan is a Canadian, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know that, yeah.
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 And usually, you know, I'm against them coming over the border and taking our jobs. But in this particular
case... You don't
have
a problem with
this particular case, I'm going to give her a pass.
All right. That's nice of you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Tay Leone is 44 years old today. TV host Nancy O'Dell turns 44 as well. Comedian Carrot Top is 43. Comedian?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Can we use that?
No.
Guy who doesn't act in Vegas, Carrot Top, is 43 years old today. Sean Astin turns 39. Chelsea Handler. She is the host of her own show. That never ceases to amaze me. She's 35 years old today. And actress Rashida Jones from Parks and Recreation in The Office and can be seen this weekend in Cop Out. She's 34 years old. And Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
There are two kinds of folks who sit around thinking about how to kill people. Psychopaths and mystery writers. I'm the kind that pays better. Who am I?
I'm Rick Castle.
Castle.
I really am ruggedly handsome, aren't I?
Every writer needs inspiration, and I've found mine.
Detective Kate Beckett. Beckett. Nikki Heat.
The character he's basing on you.
And thanks to my friendship with the mayor, I get to be on her case.
I'd be happy to let you spank me.
And together we catch killers. Make a pretty good team, you know. Like Starsky and Hutch. Turner and Hooch.
You do remind me a little of Hooch.
I thought Hooch was a dog or something. Wasn't Hooch a dog?
That's why she says you remind me a little of Hooch.
That's the joke.
That's a joke, Bean.
There's the comedy.
I'm not familiar with that concept, but that's called comedy.
I don't believe in comedy. You guys know that. You've heard the program. The show we're talking about, of course, is Castle, which airs ABC Monday nights at 10, making today's Thursday interview all the more timely. Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful actress Stana Katic has joined us here in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I need to warn you that Ralph...
I'm a huge fan.
He loves too much. Yes. He loves too hard.
Of the show in general and of you specifically.
You might want to move a little this way toward Lisa.
I've got a little bit of a crush on Kate Beckett.
Oh, let me soak this up right now.
Thank you. And it's a real pleasure to have you here.
You do not want to soak this up.
I was very excited when I heard you might be stopping by because I'm a huge fan of the show and I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your work.
Oh, thank you so much. That's
thanks for coming in. Bye-bye now.
Ralph, would you like to go into the other room and listen to the interview? Or
no, I thought you were going to play a whole episode there in the beginning. At the intro, I thought we were just going to let one roll. That would have been nice.
Well, let's meet our guests. So, first of all, you're a goddamn foreigner. Is that true? Is that what we understand?
I'm Canadian born, but you have to give me a little bit of slack because I spent a long time in Chicago. So,
okay, all right.
How old were you when you moved to the good country?
Oh,
from
really?
Communism. Yes.
We moved down here when I was really little, and then I moved back and forth for a while, and now I'm here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, do you watch the Olympics?
Helping the American economy out.
Do you watch the Olympics, and who do you root for?
Oh, geez, that was hard, right? For the hockey games.
No, it wasn't hard. It was very easy. Who do you root for? It's very simple. Matter of fact, in a half hour, we're talking to somebody from Team USA. You want to stick around for that?
All right. Sure, man.
Just checking.
Do you still root for the Canadian teams?
She does.
I root a bit for both, actually.
A boot?
When did you get the acting bug, if that's how it happened for you? Or are you one of those people who just kind of fell into it by accident?
No, I was tiny. I knew that I wanted to do it. My parents were horrified. They're like, you mean you want to be a dentist, not an actor, right?
You thought you were just saying the wrong word?
Yeah. Hoping, but yeah, no, I knew for a long while, and I studied a lot of other things like international relations and biology and things
Me
like that.
Me too.
Did you?
No, I didn't know.
Well, you're multilingual, right? You speak Serbian, right, and French and English?
I speak a couple of languages.
Do you speak Canadian?
Serbian.
My family is from Eastern Europe, and so I learned it from my parents who are from the Dalmatian coast.
Do you drink the Slivovitz?
I do.
Oh, is that code? I don't know what that means.
Slivovitz is a Serbian liquor, and it's really rocket fuel in a bottle, basically, is what it is. It will blow the top of your head off after a couple shots. And I've got some friends who are Serbs, and they love to celebrate with that every once in a while. It's delicious.
Stana, did you move to Los Angeles for a job? You had a job and that's why you moved, or did you move just trying to get a big break in the acting world?
I finished drama school and I came out here
with the intention of connecting with a management group, and that fell through. And so I just kind of worked my way up from ground zero. I ended up working
in New York?
In Los Angeles.
Not that ground zero, Kevin. Try to keep up.
Really?
Put it in the file.
Come on!
Put it in the file.
But it's named ground zero.
I know, it's horrible. I'm sorry. I apologize. All right, let's move on.
But you were doing so well in movies. I was surprised to see you take the series of Castle, because I'd seen you in The Spirit and Quantum of Solace and stuff, and your movie career seemed to be taking off.
Yeah.
Was it a hard decision for you to decide to take a full-time job doing television versus staying with the movie career, which seemed to have been blossoming at the time?
I think, you know, you could do a bit of both, right? So this has been a really wonderful opportunity. I wanted to take advantage of doing a project like this, especially something lighthearted and romantic comedy-ish. And then now what seems to be happening is there's a lot of movie opportunities that are opening up that might not have if I didn't take this kind of a project. So
on hiatus, you get to go off and shoot a movie, that kind of thing?
Yeah, knock on wood. We're taking a look at scripts and stuff.
Didn't it used to be snobby? Like, if you're in movies, you don't do TV because TV's beneath you, but that doesn't seem like it's that way anymore at all.
No. It seems like it kind of cross
the good actors and actresses realize there's good roles on TV, and they do that. And then
I mean, you mentioned Breaking Bad. What a fantastic show. What an amazing show. There's no way anybody would miss a chance to take advantage of those actors.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of film stars now who don't work maybe as often as they did in the peak of their career who are dying to get on television and do episodic work. Yeah. But it just seems like such a long day when you're doing a single camera show like Castle. You must be working 12, 13 hours a day, right?
Yeah, more like 14 to 17.
Really?
Yeah.
And especially when you're doing something like you are, which is, as you mentioned, lighthearted and comic and romantic comedy, the energy has to be up all the time, so I'm sure it's got to be exhausting for you.
It does. It gets to be a long day, but, you know, we have a really fantastic crew and an awesome kind of cast, so you end up having
Nathan Fillion is pretty terrific.
He's a sweetheart.
He's pretty amazing. You guys have great chemistry together.
Thank you.
By the way, this is actress Steina Kadic, who's in the studio with us in the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen to her voice. Try to not to look at her for 1 second, if that's possible, and listen to that voice. It really is like velvet. It's great. I'm so turned on right now.
Easy.
Wow. In a beautiful, loving way, though.
That was worse than ground zero, right?
With everyone.
Who's I don't know if it was that bad.
God
almighty. Do women come up to you all the time and ask you questions about Nathan Fillion? Because he seems to be one of those guys that every woman is desperately in love with and would love to meet.
They do. They have this wonderful crush on him. It's fantastic. I love it.
He is ruggedly handsome.
He says so himself in the beginning of the show.
They
ask you to give him a message, slip him their number, anything like that, or they just say, hey.
You said number. I don't know what you're saying to slip.
Yeah, oftentimes it's just like, oh my gosh, you work with Nathan Fillion. How is he? Is he just like Castle? You know, things like that. And it's true. He's lovely.
They want him to be that way so bad.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while you hear about a guy in Hollywood who's a complete opposite a-hole, and then you go, oh no. But
he is. He really is a lot like his character, which is fun. I mean, it's great.
The supporting cast also is terrific. John Huertas is actually a friend of mine.
We did a TV show together
a while ago, and he's fantastic on the show. And just everybody, it's a very entertaining show. And I you know, a lot of people when it first came on the air, I think were comparing it to Bones and Moonlighting, and there was a lot of shows like that had romantic chemistry that is part of, you know, the centerpiece of what the show was about. Did you feel a certain amount of pressure to live up to those kind of standards when you came on the air?
I think, you know, the whole experience was so new. I didn't really kind of compare us to anything else. At this point, I'm comparing us to Scooby-Doo, you know?
Hang on, let me make a note. Scooby-Doo, look for similarities. All right.
But those are all, of course, fantastic shows that had a run of success. But I think we found a different groove that's its own thing right now. And I think we're enjoying the response that we're getting from that.
Well, the ratings have been great, the second season especially.
It's been
ABC
amazing.
Had a lot of faith in the show, it seemed like, the first year. And now it's really paying off.
Yeah, definitely. And the fans have been really wonderfully responsive. So we've been very fortunate.
Do you guys think you'll get off the island? I mean, is that how you anticipate the season ending?
It's a different show.
No wonder I'm having so much trouble following this interview.
All right.
Let's leave it there for a moment. We'll come back right after this more with our guest, Steina Kadic. The show, by the way, is called Castle. It airs Monday nights at 10 on ABC. And as we were just talking about, it's an enormous hit. It's one of those shows, by the way, that if you don't watch it, you know somebody who does and they love it. So it's worth checking out. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Actress Steina Kadic is in the studio with us. She, of course, the co-star of the hit show called Castle, ABC, Monday nights at 10. You just told us in the waning moments of that song that you went to the Olympics last week. You were there in person.
Yeah, I was there last week, and I watched a couple of the games for the men's hockey.
Did you really?
Yeah.
She's the perfect woman.
Well, you're right.
She's the perfect woman.
Told you.
Because I thought she was going to say ice dancing. She said hockey. I was like, whoa!
Are you a hockey fan?
I love hockey. I try to watch the Ducks as much as I can.
Oh, that's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. Sorry. You're going to have
Kevin's,
to go.
Kevin's a big Kings
there's nothing,
fan.
There's nothing wrong with the Ducks, Kevin. You know that. Nothing wrong with the Ducks.
It's been nice having you in, but that's the wrong answer.
Not the Blackhawks or the Maple Leafs?
Well, you know, now that I'm down here, I got an opportunity to go and watch the Ducks, and I think they're one of the handsomest teams in NHL today.
Sure.
Typical chick. She goes after the good-looking hockey
player. Why not?
Ralph, why don't you tell Stana that you are boycotting the Olympic hockey, even though you claim to be a hockey fan? Why don't you tell her that? BS theory.
I don't think the teams are real teams.
What do you mean?
It's like a bogus all-star game. They kind of throw them together 5 minutes before the first game, and they get on the ice, and they sort of play, and then they all go their separate ways afterwards. It doesn't feel real to me anymore.
They haven't had any time.
I came of age when it was all amateur players would make up the country's teams.
Yeah.
And these guys would get together, and they'd train for months before the game stuff, and that passion led to me to be more interested in the outcomes of the games than this.
I love
this
it.
Current
it's the all-star games that actually matter.
Yeah, the guys play hard. Don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't seem like they're real teams. They're kind of thrown together haphazardly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And then it interrupts the NHL season, which kind of cheeses me off too.
There's a 2-week break in the NHL season, and you go, "Oh, we're on a roll. I don't really want to."
Exactly. So
slow down here.
It's difficult.
Were you at the USA Canada game the other night?
I wasn't. I was in the airport as they were announcing it, and Alaska Airlines finally made an intercom announcement saying, "This is Alaska Airlines with a flight leaving to Los Angeles. We're speaking specifically to the people in the pub. Get over here, otherwise you will not make your flight."
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. There's so much passion, and the whole world is over there. It was wonderful to see the spirit, and I think that's something that you can't really feel unless you're there in person. It was fabulous. It was really wonderful.
Speaking of sports, you're an archer, right?
Yes, I love to do archery as much as I can, yeah.
That's a weird choice.
It is, I guess, yeah.
Where did you learn that?
I don't know. You know, it's like when I came to Los Angeles, I just took it up. And
like everyone does.
Sure. Well, you know, Los Angeles is the archery capital of the world.
You come here and you think, I got to do archery if I'm here.
You can't walk down the street without being hit by a longbow.
What sense does that make? What attracted you to it here?
It's something I've wanted to do for a while, and I found an opportunity. There's an archery club up in Pasadena, so I took advantage of it. And now the guys on set, every once in a while, set up like a little target for me to go and shoot on our lot.
Well, okay. The insurance company must love that.
Yeah, must love that. Let's put an arrow in her hand.
Someone's getting a shaft in the neck. And arrow, of course.
Yeah. Have you ever had any mishaps? Have you ever shot anybody or got close to hitting anybody?
You ever killed a dude on accident?
The AD comes out regularly to tell me not to point the arrows in such directions, so I've been safe so far.
All right. In our remaining moments, Stana, what do people, when you run into them on the street, what do they always ask you about Castle? What's the burning question that people have? I mean,
I've got a question.
Of course, I hope it's not, will you two get together, will your characters get together, because we always know the fun is watching the flirtation that goes on. But beyond that, what kind of questions do you get the most from Castle fans?
You know, like, will they ever get together, and when will they kiss? Things like that.
I want to know, are we going to ever find out who hired the hitman that killed Kate's mom?
I hope so. I loved working on that episode.
And that's a great storyline. For those of you who don't follow the show, Kate Beckett, Detective Kate Beckett, her mom, different Kate.
Sorry.
Her mom was murdered, which is one of the driving forces behind why Kate is such a great detective. This season, we found the man who killed her mother, but it turns out he is a professional hitman. So we don't know who hired that person who murdered Kate's mom or why. And I was wondering if that mystery was going to be addressed at all the rest of this season.
I think they'll address it. I don't know that we'll solve it this season, but definitely we're going to go and deal with it, you know, before the end of the season.
That was a great episode.
It was so fun to play. It was exciting because it's such a strong thrust to that character.
Come on. You can't say stuff like that. Come on. You've got to know better.
She knew it.
Oh, sure she did.
Look on her face.
You got Ralph with his shaft to the neck. And then look at the strong thrust.
Right here.
Before we
find a case of the vapors. Before we make out and say goodbye, let's bring up Lucia real quick on line two, because she sent me an email and I said, this is so fantastic. She's such a huge fan of yours, Stana, that I wanted to get her on the air so she could talk to you personally. Lucia, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Bean, and hi, Stana.
Hi, Lucia.
I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan and have a huge, huge crush.
Yes, you do.
And
on Stana?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Well, we're all thrusting chats over here.
Oh, believe me, we do that too.
All right, so what happens in your house Monday nights at 10?
We pop open a few bottles of wine, and after the show, my husband and I thrust the castle because I am so hot I'm bothered from watching it.
Is that right? So you have a little castle role play?
Yes.
You're Nikki Heat and he's Rick Castle?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's my
favorite one. Do you recreate the storyline of the night?
I told you that we needed to find your mom's killer.
Nice acting, Kevin.
So, Lucia, if I understand correctly, she has the hots for our guests. So she gets all hot and bothered during the show. And then immediately when the program ends at 11, right before the local news comes on, you insist that your husband take care of you.
Exactly. It's awesome.
That's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story.
Very nice.
Thank you, Bean, for getting this interview even more tawdry than I thought it could ever be.
Thank you.
But, thank you very much, Lucia. But that's a compliment to the castle program, though, isn't it?
What you say? Yeah. Screw the Emmys.
That couple had sex.
That couple has sex after the show. What could be a higher honor? Bean, you're a strange little man.
All right. Castle airs Monday nights at 10 on ABC. Won't you please check it out? Stana, thank you so much for coming. And we very much enjoyed meeting. And I hope you come back again like tomorrow.
That's never going to happen. She's never coming back.
Are you available tomorrow?
Grit, heart, and leadership. These are the words that describe Los Angeles Kings captain Dustin Brown.
And Brown, and he scores!
What can Brown do for you?
Dustin Brown, you got to keep your head up, and he's on the ice. He's a big hitter.
And a hard check by Dustin Brown has the crowd roaring.
He takes it up and knocks the glass out. Dustin Brown.
Brown over to Cameron. He scores!
To close the game and seal the Canadians' fate, an empty net goal by Ryan Kesler in the final moments assures the Americans' victory.
Charging after it is Kesler, going back at Perry. Kesler scores! The net is empty! Scores! They move on to the semifinals.
Yeah, forgive us while we geek out for a moment, but USA Hockey has been unbelievable this Olympics, beating Canada a few days ago for the first time in 50 years, beating Switzerland yesterday, and now heading off into the semifinals against Team Finland tomorrow. We couldn't be more excited, and frankly, I can't believe he's up and available to talk to us on the phone today during the Olympics. But ladies and gentlemen, Dustin Brown from Team USA, and of course, the Los Angeles Kings right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dustin, how are you, man?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
It's great to talk to you again. I keep feeling for you guys. No matter who you're playing up there in Canada, it seems like everyone in the stands is rooting against you.
That always seems to be the case when we're in Canada and the Olympics. A lot of people cheer for the underdogs when it's the Americans going against them. So,
In Canada they root against anyone playing America. You mean?
At least in hockey, it seems like, actually against the Swiss last night, we had a few chants, so, it was pretty mixed last night, but, Canada was obviously always fun, so.
Well, you certainly know how to answer the critics when you play games like you did yesterday. Unbelievable. Let's back up one step, Dustin, if we can. I want to hear from you what it was like to beat Canada and that historic game the other day. I mean, you guys must have, you thought, of course, you could win, but when the final buzzer sounded, you must have just been so unbelievably happy.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I think more so just the fact that we were in Canada when we did it. Had we beaten them in the States or the Olympics were being held somewhere else, I don't think it would have been nearly as special, but to beat them on their home soil was always a lot of fun.
What was the hype like there leading up to that game, you know, in Canada on TV or whatever? Did they make it a huge, the biggest deal in the world? Or
It was the whole day was a pretty big deal. They had the two other games were pretty big matchups as well.
Right.
I can't remember who it was. I think it was Finns and the Swedes and the Czechs and the Russians, so it was like Super Sunday, really, up here for hockey, with the main focus being our game.
What, I mean, obviously Zach Parise yesterday was your big hero with both goals against the Swiss, but did you handle them a little easier than you thought you would yesterday, or did you feel like at any minute that game could have gone either way?
I mean, Olympic hockey, in a short term like this, you never know, I guess. If you have a hot goaltender, which they did, we were 0-0 going into the third. We got a goal early in the third to go up 1-0 in the empty net goal at the end, but it's a little nervous. I think we played within our game, and we knew if we played the right way, we'd win. We outshot them, I don't know, at least 40 to 10 or somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it was crazy, but the goals didn't reflect that.
Like I said, if you can get a hot goal in the Olympics, you never know what can happen.
Right. Is it? Does it get more pressure field, you know, each period that you don't score? It's 0-0 into the first break, and then it's 0-0 going into the second break. Now you're going to the third period. You know, does that make it a lot worse?
In a game where you're expected to win, a little bit. But like I said, we broke through early in the third period, and we kind of went on from there. We didn't really. The most important thing is I think we stick to our game plan, which is tough to do when you're playing a team that you're expected to do well against and to tie a game going into the third. Sometimes you try to do too much, and
right. That's
when bad things happen. We stuck to our game plan, and it worked out.
We are talking to Dustin Brown. If you're just joining us in the Kevin Bean Show, he, of course, one of the stars of Team USA Olympic hockey, play in Finland tomorrow. How much thought have you given to the guys on the Finnish squad, Dustin?
They have a good team. Majority of them are NHL players, so I've played them in the past 2 seasons or 2 years at the World Championships. They beat us in the quarters 2 years ago, and we beat them in the quarters last year. So we know them pretty well as a group of guys, and playing against them in 82 games, we know majority of their players pretty well as well.
So tomorrow's the semifinal, and then when's the final? If you happen to go on to that.
Sunday.
Wow.
Have you been able to do anything else while you're in Vancouver? Gone to any events? Have you seen anything? Nothing else except for the hockey?
Yeah, no, I haven't really had a chance. Just from we're practicing, or we play every other, we've been playing every other day, so, and then practice on the other days. And a lot of the events are, an hour or 2 hours away or that sort of thing, so I didn't really have a lot of time.
Yeah,
right.
I think I'm going to go to the gold medal game today for the women's hockey.
That was going to be my next question. USA versus Canada, women's hockey. I was wondering if those guys are even on your radar, because they're not. I would imagine that team is not somebody that you guys even really know, right?
No, I don't really know too many of the players. We had a USA hockey dinner or get together the other night with both the women's and men's hockey team, but. I don't really know the team very well, but I think I'm going to be at the game today.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Has this been one of the most fun weeks of your whole career, Dustin?
Oh, definitely. It's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and obviously the fact that we've been successful always makes it that much more fun. We're down to 4 teams, and either way, we have a chance at a medal, so that's an exciting prospect.
Of course, yeah. Well, I don't know how much you are in touch with folks back in Southern California, but people are going crazy for what you guys have accomplished up there on the ice in Vancouver, man. We could not be happier for you. We couldn't be prouder for you, and so glad to see you represent our country. And we got our fingers crossed for tomorrow's game. We just can't wait to see how it all plays out. But congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. We mean it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. We appreciate it. Tomorrow is the semifinal at noon, I believe.
Noon our time. That's right. Yeah.
Noon our time. Dustin Brown, thanks very much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Any driver with a personalized license plate is a douchebag.
Yes.
So says Kevin, and apparently so says Rob.
We'll discuss. Wholeheartedly.
I think that's accurate.
I don't think there's anything to discuss.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so right
it's
here.
Science.
It is science.
Well, when you hear some of the people who have personalized plates that are not douchebags, you may have to rethink your theories.
That's possible.
I think the scales are going to be greatly tipped in one direction
by a certain 6'6" man.
Right now, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, let me give away some tickets. I've been talking about the Paley Fest 2010, the amazing television festival that gives tribute to TV shows both past and present. The best in television, brought to you by the Paley Center. For more information on the entire festival, you can go to paleycenter.org, by the way. I've got tickets to give away for Flash Forward,
over there on ABC. I love Flash Forward.
Me too.
I'm sorry they canceled it after four episodes. I'd like them to bring it back.
It would be better had we been able to see it all.
It's, I would have liked coming back in mid-March.
What?
Yes, mid-March. I'm so excited. I would have liked to see it a full season because they got me really hooked into the mystery, and now I've forgotten everything. And I got a head full of Lost now. I don't know if I have room for Flash Forward in my head.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of complex ideas going on there. There's a guy with a ring, and he was the only one awake when everyone else passed out, and the doll's head is around, and the other guy was working the computer, and he blew him up in the doll factory.
That was a good show.
It was a
good
show.
Remember that one was on?
And then the cops who's going to get killed by his own partner. We don't know how that's going to happen or why.
Yeah, John Cho.
A lot of weird stuff. A lot of weird stuff going
Joseph
on.
Joseph Fiennes also stars in the show. Dominic Monaghan from Lost fame is also in the show.
Good cast. If you're a fan like I am of Flash Forward and you're glad it's coming back, celebrate with the cast and crew and creators March the 11th. I've got five pairs of tickets to give away if you're a Flash Forward fan. Here's your trivia question. Joseph Fiennes, star of Flash Forward, also starred in an Oscar-winning motion picture. Won the Oscar for Best Motion Picture. What was the name of that movie? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now. First five callers with the correct answer, they win. It's just that simple.
Just that easy.
John Krasinski of The Office fame, said to be number one on the list for Paramount Pictures to take on the role of Captain America, the next big budget comic book movie to hit a Cineplex near you.
Yeah, throwing those stun pumpkins and all.
No, that's the Green Goblin. That's the Green Goblin. That is Spider-Man's enemy. The Green Goblin throws the stun pumpkins.
Oh.
Captain America, as we know, is America's greatest super soldier. Man who was given the super soldier serum that led him to be the greatest soldier America's ever seen. And so they made him an icon. They gave him a costume to inspire hope and patriotism and all those who call these great United States of America our home.
And Johnny Krasinski's that guy.
He became Captain America.
Was it kind of a pro-America propaganda machine during World War II? Is that where Captain America kind of came from?
Captain America came about at the beginning of the Second World War, yes. He was a comic book character for kids to read and look up to as America was talking about fighting the Nazis and the Japanese. So he was a very popular character in the 40s. Then after the war ended, his popularity waned, as you can imagine. Marvel Comics kind of put him in cold storage for a while, and then they brought him back in the 60s, and he's been a mainstay to comic book fans ever since.
But he can summon all the creatures of the sea just by asking.
Wow, are you off base? That is Aquaman. That is so confusing. We're going to have to sit down. I'm just going to have to give you guys a comic book primer, I think, at some point.
I do need a flow chart of some
sort. With A through Z of just who you need to know and how to keep things straight. But anyway, yeah, apparently John Krasinski, the talk is today all over the internet that he is in the lead to play the Star-Spangled Avenger. Here's the thing, it's supposed to happen. You already got Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, right?
Right.
Then you're going to get the new Spider-Man, whoever he may be.
Right.
Then you're going to get Captain America. You got Thor coming up.
Thor.
You've already got Edward Norton as the Hulk. Apparently there's talk at one point they're going to put all these Marvel characters together in one big Avengers movie. So they're trying to get all their ducks in a row over there at Marvel Comics.
All right.
Speaking of movies that we may or may not want to see, George Lopez, it's been announced, will be the voice of a character called Speedy Gonzalez.
Aye, aye, aye.
In a film based on the 1950s Warner Brothers cartoon character, Speedy Gonzalez. Speedy hasn't been seen since Space Jam.
That was the Michael Jordan movie?
Early 90s? That's the last time he ran across the screen. Apparently he was featured briefly in Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Space Jam. You don't see him on television much anymore because a lot of Mexican Americans complain that he was a racist stereotype.
Mexicans.
Because Speedy Gonzalez would go, aha, arriba, arriba, andale, andale. And he'd run really fast.
But he was fast.
He was a fast Mexican.
That's what I'm saying.
What are Mexicans complaining about that for?
That's what I'm saying.
Usually they get usually get the bad rap of not being fast.
That's what I'm
this
saying.
This is a fast one.
He's speedy.
Anyway,
seems good.
George Lopez will be the voice of Speedy Gonzalez.
Not as good.
Of course he will. This will be a combination animated live-action motion picture. Of course, George also provided the voice for the Chihuahua in Beverly Hills Chihuahua. So he's making a career out of just being a horrible Mexican stereotype. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Oh. No hablo retardo, Speedy Gonzalez.
Oh, come on now. Will you please? Let's talk to the winner, shall we, for my little trivia question. Let's talk to Jameson. Jameson?
Yes.
Are you a fan of Flash Forward?
I am starting to be one.
Oh, you're enjoying it now that it's not on the air?
Very much.
It's coming back, though. It's coming back. Hold on. Joseph Fiennes starred in what Oscar-winning motion picture?
It was Shakespeare in Love.
It was indeed Shakespeare in Love. Co-starred with Gwyneth Paltrow in that, as Bill Shakespeare.
Congratulations, hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend the evening with the casting creators of Flash Forward. So tell them that you're sort of kind of becoming a fan. They'll appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Make sure to mention that.
Stand up and say, I have a question. I'm not really familiar with your program. Can you kind of tell me what this is all about?
I could use a catch-up. I could use that.
He may not even go into the Paley Center. He may just drive by and go, well, I did my part.
Psst, psst. Want to buy tickets? He's going to be that guy in the corner. Hey, you a Flash Forward fan? Face value. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Rashida Jones.
Yes.
She, of course, star of Parks and Recreation. She was on
Have we ever had her on the show before, guys? Do you remember?
Yeah, we had her on the
Office. No,
we had her on when she was on The Office.
No, I don't remember.
Really? Yeah, she was on The Office. She played John Krasinski's love interest.
I don't think so.
Yeah, when he left the Scranton branch, remember he went to work at the other branch?
No.
He was involved with her, and we had her on to talk about that. And Kevin had a lot of questions about her role in The Office.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow. Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Chelsea Handler's 35. Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings fame is 39. Nancy O'Dell, TV show host. She works over there on Access Hollywood.
Used to.
She's not there anymore.
Yeah, she quit.
She used to be there till she quit.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
She used to be on that show. Now she is not there. She's 44. Tay Leone is 44 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, speaking of a landslide, thereby Smashing Pumpkins, a couple of nights ago, one of the top 24 finalists, Kevin, on American Idol, did it so poorly. Worse than Stevie Nicks, she sang Landslide, if you can imagine that.
That's not possible.
I mean, it was unbelievably bad. So hard to listen to. Ellen, do you agree?
You know what? I love bananas.
Right.
And sometimes a banana is just not quite ripe, and you're like, oh, I wish it was riper, because I'd like to eat that banana right now.
Okay, that's a great point. Thank you for that.
Right.
All right, let's ask the question that we ask so often on this program, and that is, why does Kevin hate? Today's topic, personalized license plate. Anyone who doesn't just accept what the state sends you to put on the back of your car, but instead requests his own combination of letters and numbers, Kevin, you think is what?
An a-hole. But I only said that when I realized that you had one. I saw one.
But that doesn't mean everybody who has one is an a-hole.
No, but it's fun to poke you with a stick. I saw one on my way into work, earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they really meant well, I think, the personalized license plate of this particular car. And they wanted to say, God is good.
Okay.
Clearly a religious
nice
person.
Message.
Nice message, right? They wanted to go. Yeah. But you can only put 7 letters on it. So, the letters were GODSGOO. And that was the end of it. Now, I don't think
God's goo.
I don't think that's what they meant. I'm guessing that's not what they meant. I'm guessing they meant a religious message of some kind, but God's goo, not the same, really, as God's good.
First of all,
could be.
God's go!
Could be. G-O-O.
Like Thunderbirds are go!
I don't know. I'm guessing they were too religious to understand what God's goo is. Like they wouldn't think
we
that way.
We all know goo, Kevin.
I'm just saying.
Even the religious people know
goo. Then why
would
they do that?
Everybody goos.
All right.
But Kevin, your mom, God bless her, very religious person.
Yeah.
She would never think of goo.
No, she wouldn't.
She would never think of goo. She would put God's goo thinking that's close enough to God's good, right?
Right. But I would say, hey, mom.
Right.
You might
Somebody's
not.
Somebody's really thinking goo is close enough to good.
I don't know.
Close enough. We'll let that one slide.
It had to be. Or they would have not had it. I don't know. I was shocked by it.
Yeah, that's
pretty hideous.
Amazing.
But that goes to prove your point that everyone who has a vanity license plate is a douchebag.
Okay, explain that to me, because when this came out off the air yesterday, it was almost unanimous. Everybody in the office, Omar chimes in, Mike chimes in, everybody chimes in going, yeah, I agree. But tell me what that's about.
Because my man Kevin is right, because here's the thing. If you are so narcissistic that you have to take even the most mundane item, the most trivial little item like your license plate, and somehow make it about you, somehow draw attention to yourself, oh, look at my funny license plate, you are a pathetic douchebag. That's what that's all about. Like someone who goes out and just puts their initials on every towel in their house. Oh, these towels are mine. I have these towels belong to me. Somehow these towels reflect me.
He said, look at my sweater. I've got a monogram. The sweater's about me as well. Right. Everything somehow is connected to me.
Bean, please tell us your license plate, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't want to say it on the air because I know how our listeners are. And just like Ralph's address the other day, I don't want anybody to track me down somehow.
Tell us what
Beans
it is.
It is Beans Goo. I'll just say it's a historical date of significance to me. Something that happened in history long before I was born of significance to me. And I chose that. It's interesting to hear your perspective, Ralph, because I don't think any of that is true in my case, because I don't care if anyone ever looks at my plate, thinks about my plate, asks me about my plate, even notices that I have a plate.
The trouble of doing it?
I did it because it's something that I enjoy. It happens to be a topic of interest to me. It's something that I enjoy that I enjoy seeing every day.
You do, plus, because I'm so cool. I've got a secret license plate. Aren't I a clever little devil?
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the annoying thing. Not specifically yours, Bean, but maybe the annoying thing is the ones where you know they have a message, but you can't figure it out. So now that is annoying. So now you get angry because
not only look at me, but look how smarter I am than you.
I'm not even going to let you figure out what my license plate is.
I'm just going to put this on my ass and drive it around, and you don't get to know because I'm special.
Maybe that's where the hatred comes from. Not you specifically, but people who have.
And you specifically.
Oh, him too.
I have to also add that for me, and of course I don't have the Asperger's, so I don't want anyone to jump to that conclusion, but I am very particular when it comes to numbers. And I honestly was terrified that I would get some plate back that had like a whole bunch of even numbers on it, and yeah, I can't have that.
That would be disastrous.
That's what I'm saying. I can't drive around in a car like that. I mean,
license plate.
Go to kevinandbean.com if you want to see some photos. We got Kickin' Ass, KKNAZZ. Kickin' Ass. That guy? A-hole. Guarantee.
Oh, man.
Guarantee.
Psycho Mike, what about the one you saw the other day? Literally, you saw just within the last week driving around on the freeway.
Snapped a shot of it. It was Mr. Rad.
Come on.
Okay,
with
but that might be ironic.
I think that might be a funny person. Yeah.
Was it Dave that came to Mexico?
No, and the guy was driving a Corvette, so I'm assuming he meant it seriously.
No irony there.
There you go.
We are going to take your... Now, what calls are we looking for, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067? Well, people who have plates or people who have an opinion on those who have plates?
I think both. If you have a plate and you think it's cool, that's fine. Talk to us. And if you hate them, try to put into words why.
Okay. Do we want to talk to our friend Aisa, who is calling us right now? Because she is somebody who we all adore, who is clearly not an a-hole or a douchebag, yet she also has a personalized plate. So let's see how we're able to reconcile those two things. Hi, Aisa.
Good morning. I am so afraid to even say what my license plates are after hearing Ralph.
Yeah, well,
you should, welcome to our world.
You should be very afraid.
But we love you.
I love you guys, too, but my plate says meow.
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 So she was in the office yesterday and I said, okay, you're an a-hole.
You are an a-hole.
No, here, it's rational. Okay. It's turned into rational. It started out as a funny joke between me and my friend Shaney. We meow at each other all the time.
Right. Wait. So
she says that like that's normal.
You know what'll make this funnier?
Right. So you take that from a one person joke and you put it on your car
and subject everyone on the freeways to it.
So that nobody else. Well, F you!
Well, wait.
F you.
Who looks like a bigger a-hole? Me driving a car that says meow on it, or guys pulling up next to me meowing at me?
Oh, does that happen?
Does one of you have to win? Can't you all just be a big group of douchebags?
Wait a minute. That sounds kind of good.
It's a douchebag soup.
That's my personal plate, by the way. Douchebag soup.
But here's the thing. At first, I was like, yeah, right on. I'm pulling guys in this car. They're meowing at me. And they would be, you know, every now and then they'd be hot guys or whatever. But now that I have a boyfriend and I make him drive the car, guys are meowing at him.
Well, that's the other thing is that they're specific to a person. So you'll see hot mama and it'll be like a 90-year-old. You go, no, you shouldn't be driving your daughter's car. If it says hot mama, you got to be hot.
My boyfriend doesn't need to be meowed at, but it's awesome when I'm sitting in the passenger seat.
But you didn't do it for that reason.
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Then you're an a-hole.
I did it because...
I don't know what to do with this. I love Aisa.
Look, I know. I feel your pain.
I'm also conflicted.
But she insists on being a douchebag. We have to call it.
But she's not.
But apparently we were wrong. Apparently she is.
Wow.
There's only portions of me that are a-holey. The rest of
those are my favorite. All right.
Before we get any further down that path, I think we will say goodbye. But Aisa, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. All right.
Bye.
1-800-520-1067. Do you have a personalized plate that you can defend? And what is your opinion on those who have them? Give us a call. We'll come back with your calls right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We have opened up a firestorm of emails and texts. And oh, my God, are people on fire about this topic. And I got to be honest, most of them agree with you guys. Most of them agree that if you have a personalized license plate, you're automatically a douchebag no matter what else you've done that may be good in your life.
Because there's God's side and then there's the wrong side.
Here's the problem is that the bad ones make you all look bad. That's the way of the
world.
I'm
saying the best one is bad. That's what I'm
saying.
How
about I heart my butt? How about that one? I heart my butt.
Is this a new conversation?
No.
It's a license plate.
I'm sorry. It's a license plate.
I mean, how about, I don't know, what are some of the funny ones that you've seen? Any of them good?
No.
Ralph, that's what I'm telling you. Have you seen the Metallica one on the website where it says italic? And then there's an M and an A at the end of it. I swear it says
in the Metallica logo, so it looks just like the album cover.
It looks awesome.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty darn cool.
But it's on a Jetta. So then what do you do? What do you do with that?
See? Ralph, what if you owned the original Batmobile from the 1960s,
right,
and you could get a license plate that said Batman?
Mm-mm.
Would you hate that? Would that be lame too?
Yes. Well, it certainly would be redundant. You don't need to drive the Batmobile.
What character does that car belong to? No, I would get the original license plate number that the car had on the show, but I wouldn't just put Batman. I wouldn't put Batfan on my car, for example. As much as I love Batman, I would never put that on my license plate.
And you love that more than
anything.
Anyone loves anything they've talked
about.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'm having trouble deciphering what these people are calling to say, but we're looking for people who either want to defend their plate, right, or they have a comment on all people who have personalized license plates. So where do you want to start? Who do you like here?
Let's start with Veronica, because this seems a little dangerous to me. Hi, Veronica.
Hello, you guys. What's up?
You have a personalized license plate?
Yes.
And
pervy.
It is pervy.
Pervy.
P-E-R-V-I-E.
Are you a pervert?
Damn straight.
Okay, but does that get you attention that you don't want sometimes? Because that doesn't seem like that would be good.
Well, it was originally a nickname in high school.
Right.
But I never got anything, any slack from it.
I would think that'd be a name I'd want to walk away from.
Well, or the people who call you pervy already know that's your nickname, right?
Yes.
So you don't need to share that with strangers, really.
Yeah, but the fun thing about it is not my husband drives that car.
Oh, see, again, it's just the burn factor.
It's just an F-U. That's the only thing these things are good for.
So she's an a-hole, right? Yeah, she still keeps pervy just so that her husband has to drive it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Veronica.
You're proving our point. You're a douchebag and an a-hole.
Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you for the call. Here's an emailer, Ralph, who says, this is the plate on my 1964 Ford F-250. It says 64 faux show. That's what his license plate is. I'm not trying to be a douche or act smarter than everyone else. I'm just trying to bring a smile to everyone who sees it. Quit hating Kevin and Ralph. Now, what would you say about a guy like that?
You're not bringing a smile to anybody, douchebag.
How does that bring a smile to my face?
64 faux show. Oh, look at me. I'm driving a 64 Ford. How cool am I? I have a classic antique car. F you. You already win. You've got the 64 antique car. Congratulations. Now you're faux show. You're going to show how cute you are? I hope you die in a fiery crash.
Let's try Max on line 2. I think he's got a comment on this exact topic. Hey, Max, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
The only type of personalized license plate that bothers me is people who want to tell you, kind of like our last emailer, what kind of car they're driving. Bill's, Benz, and Mike's BMW.
Yeah.
I'm driving 3 feet behind you. I can tell that you already have a nicer car than I do.
Yeah, really.
So you don't have to rub it in my face what it is.
I don't need 57 T-Burr as you go by me in your convertible 57 Ford Thunderbird.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you on that. But the other ones don't bother you.
No, it's, if someone wants to try to be cute, it gives me something to look at while I'm stuck in traffic, but it's those guys that just feel so insecure about themselves that they need to get the car and then make sure you know exactly what it is.
I got you. All right.
Turns me into Ralph.
All right.
Turns you into Ralph. And you don't want that.
That's horrible. I feel bad for you.
So the message is stop it, right? That's basically what you're saying.
I think so.
Just
stop it or die.
There you go.
Is that strong enough?
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Stonacatic is gone.
Oh, you're so sad. Your friend from Castle, who was here today.
Stonacatic is gone.
Wow, she was unbelievable.
She was one of those...
worth living when she's not in the room anymore.
She's one of those people who comes in and she's a force of nature and you can't believe she's real because she's so perfect in every respect. Although Kevin was ready to throw her under the bus for being a fan of the Mighty Ducks. Or excuse me, the Anaheim Ducks, I should say.
Kevin was ready to throw under the boat earlier today.
That's a serious
you
flaw,
missed that,
first of all.
But Kevin mentioned throwing someone under the boat today.
But I didn't tell
you. I don't think you do that. Unless you're at sea, maybe, but usually it's under a bus.
Listen, we can't start bringing stuff up that I say off the air. It'll just be
that
time.
Was special. It was. That was unique.
Yeah, she was awesome. And if she wants to come in every week, that's fine. Maybe she can do traffic.
That's always our fallback position.
That's right.
Yeah. I appreciate it. It's available. It's so very much.
Yeah. Lisa gets a kick out of that every time.
It's always
walking
funny
out
to Lisa.
Here with a spring in my step. Got to tell you that.
Anyway, she was fantastic. And if you're not watching Castle, start because I want her to be happy. And if that makes her happy, then Castle should be on forever.
All right,
and it's really a good show. We should get that Nathan Fillion on too. He's a good dude.
Absolutely. Love him.
Funny fella. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we?
Funny how?
Entertaining. All funny right. Like a clown. He amuses me. Okay. iTunes has just announced their latest sales benchmark. Apparently, iTunes just surpassed 10 billion songs downloaded this week.
10 billion with a B.
10 billion songs have been downloaded from the iTunes website.
Wow.
Dude. Now, think about it. iTunes is not the only source for downloading music. So if that's just one source, I'm sure it's probably the largest, but if you count in all the other downloads, can you imagine how many songs have been downloaded since that technology has existed?
What are the other big ones? Being Amazon?
Amazon's the next biggest, yeah. But I mean, it's interesting because people always talk about how the record business is dead. The music business is doing great. I mean, people still love music and want music. It's just they pay for it in different ways now than they used to.
True. Interesting. Apple also released their list of the most downloaded songs of all time since iTunes has been in operation. These songs have been the most downloaded, and you'd be surprised. They're all recent. You know, it's not like people are downloading Thriller or something. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah.
That's I remember we used to hear for a while, maybe it's been a while now, but they used to claim that Don't Stop Believin' by Journey had been the most downloaded iTunes song at one point.
Well, these five have surpassed that one then, because that's not on the list. The number one most downloaded song was those. Rhythm of the night. Let's go from five to one. A little suspense, okay?
Five?
Fifth, okay. The fifth most downloaded song on iTunes of all time, Coldplay's Viva La Vida.
Wow. Okay,
huge smash. I can see that.
Fourth, Jason Mraz's I'm Yours.
What?
Whoa, yeah. That's a surprise.
It's a shocker. It's a big song.
Isn't that song? That's that song, right?
Something like that.
Should be singing it a lot on American Idol.
Yeah, that's song,
yeah, they
right?
sure do.
Yeah. Third most downloaded song of all time, Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas.
God, that's a horrible
but
song.
You knew that would be
Boom
that
Boom
big.
Pow.
You would have put money
but
on that song.
It's so horrible, though.
Boom Boom Pow. Third most downloaded song of all time on iTunes.
Yeah.
Second most downloaded song, Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
Sure.
My Poker Face.
Can I guess?
Number one?
Can I guess?
You want to guess? Sure.
Oh, no, my butt.
Yes.
Oh, no, my butt.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Well, are you ready for the big one?
Oh, no, my butt.
Yeah. Jennifer Lopez's Oh, No, My Butt. All right, let's think about this for a second. Usually we can figure this stuff out. So
it's going to be something like Boom Boom Pow. You know that. You know that. Mm-hmm.
How recent is it? Is this a song from the last year, 2 years?
Recent. Very recent.
So huge.
I don't know
huge,
exactly
huge.
How many recent.
It's freaking Lady Gaga, True Romance or whatever Ooh La La is.
No, right. I wish. I love that song.
Is it, how about Taylor Swift? How about one of her little peppy songs?
No.
One of her little peppy songs.
One of her little peppy songs are one of her dirge-like ballads. None of that.
Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling or whatever that
is. Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling is correct, yep. Psycho Mike. You win.
Really?
The number one most downloaded song of all time, Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling.
Wow, another terrible song.
Yes. So there you go.
Wow.
Here's your answer. And people wonder why we're getting our asses kicked in the ratings. Now we know. Sublime's not on this list.
We no, sure that's going a
attention,
direction.
K-Rock management.
they did a contest that was well-publicized where they gave this phenomenal prize package. I don't remember what it was, but it was like 10,000 free downloads or something to whoever the person was who downloaded the 10 billionth song on iTunes. And I haven't yet heard who the person is, but it was a Johnny Cash song that he downloaded sometime yesterday.
All right. What does he win?
It was like 10,000 free downloads.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great prize.
It's a good deal. All morning long, I've been talking about the fact they're doing a large
big screen, big budget version of Speedy Gonzalez, the cartoon character,
right?
That had been upsetting. I'd always heard upsetting to many Mexicans because they believed there was a racist character,
right?
Because he was a little mouse with a sombrero and he'd run around going arriba arriba, andale andale, and he'd be running around real fast. So they stopped to. You don't see him on television. Warner Brothers doesn't use him in their shorts anymore.
And it was in commercials and everywhere for a while, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's too stereotypical for something.
But I've got a ton of email from some of our Latino listeners saying that's just not the case. I always laugh when people bring up how Mexicans don't like Speedy, says Daniel Duarte, because he's racist. And you're right, but my dad was born and raised in Mexico, and Speedy was always his and all of my uncle's favorite character. Mexicans love that guy. It's only the uptight ones that don't. So maybe they got something here.
So don't be uptight, Mexicans? Is that what we're saying?
But haven't we learned that it only takes one uptight person if that person has a loud enough voice that all of a sudden everybody else will run scared?
Desiree, just so you know, not all Mexicans hate Speedy Gonzalez. My cousins and I used to watch him and laugh our asses off. We'd also imitate him constantly. Speedy's awesome because he would always outsmart the gringos. Stereotypes be damned. Arriba, arriba. Hasta luego, Desiree.
I love her.
And Eddie from Covina writes, I am more offended that George Lopez is representing Mexicans than Speedy Gonzalez. We Mexican-Americans need a new representative. Even Psycho Mike would be better. I'm just saying, Eddie from Covina. So, yeah. George
Hello,
Lopez.
Mexicans. Why don't you amigos go back to Canada, where you belong?
George Lopez will be the voice of Speedy Gonzalez in that feature film. So, you got that to look forward to. Michael Lohan says that he isn't convinced his daughter is a well woman.
Oh, man.
Still speaking out about his daughter yet once again. He says that even after a few trips to rehab and lots of counseling, she still has massive inner demons. She claims that she can drink now in moderation. Lindsay can, by the way.
That's how it works with 12-step.
And Michael says he thinks that's not the case, so he may have a point there. Dad says he'll stop at nothing to make things right for his daughter. And he won't stop speaking out until the problem is solved, he says. By the way,
He's not helping.
Lindsay says she's moving to England.
Really?
Yes. She tweeted the news that she's moving to England in the near future. She's looking forward to better DJs, music, and Paris being right around the corner.
Hilton?
No, I think the city. Oh. So, there's your Lindsay Lohan update. Is she ever going to act again or do something involving her career?
Doubt it.
She literally just gets paid to go to things now. That's how she makes a living. She gets paid to go to parties and runway shows and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. And Bruce Willis talking about his new movie, Cop Out, which I saw last night, by the way. Very, very funny. That Tracy Morgan. Boy, is he funny.
He cracks me up.
He's good. Says that he's glad to do this film because he thinks police officers who get shot at the job really deserve a good laugh. So he's hoping his movie provides that for them. He also feels that he needs to entertain exotic dancers.
Well, they need to go to school too.
Bruce says he feels bad for ladies who shake their asses in Stiletto Hills and wind up with painful bunions from their work. So he's hoping he can entertain them as well. I would like to entertain those girls as well. I didn't have made a movie or anything. I would just like to entertain them.
Right. Well, Sharktopus will entertain them.
That's true. It'll entertain everyone. And by the way, Sharktopus, the Ralph Garman deserves a role in Sci-Fi Channel's Sharktopus.
Yes, how are we
Facebook,
doing?
Facebook page, fan page.
How's it working out?
Over 1,100 members so far.
Nice.
Yay!
Another billion. You might make a mark.
Sci-Fi is not going to be able to ignore me. I will not be ignored.
Not with those kind of numbers.
Speaking of movies, you want to see Zoolander 2?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Wow, I had no idea I would strike such a rich vein.
I had a soft yes, and I thought, keep it to yourself. Don't say anything.
Look, it involves male models. Of course, Mike's
That's
in.
True.
Yeah, good point.
It involves guys posing on a catwalk. How could Mike not be excited? Ben Stiller has announced apparently Zoolander 2 is in the works. Justin Theroux, the writer behind Tropic Thunder, is being brought in to write the script. And he apparently will also direct. Owen Wilson is expected to return as well. And Jonah Hill, apparently in negotiations to play the villain of the piece. So, Zoolander 2.
Awesome.
Coming soon to a theater near you. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Rashida Jones from Parks and Recreation, from The Office. She can be seen in Cop Out this weekend. She plays Tracy Morgan's wife in that show.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's really funny in it. She's quite beautiful, too. Very very lovely
she's
girl.
She's hot, it turns out.
Remember when she was on Office?
No,
we had her
no.
in the show?
No, come on!
And it was interesting because she played someone from another office from Dunder Mifflin. It was in another city.
How would you describe that if you had to quickly?
I would say she she played someone in another branch of Dunder Mifflin.
Ah. That would have been better than how I did it.
And so Kevin wanted to address that with her, and it came out like this.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Do you have your head up your ass?
They made her work in an outside office. That is just cool because it is cold up there in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
It's possible I could have said that better.
No, I think it was strong.
If you could have come up with the words transfer and branch, I think you would have been fine. But they just weren't they weren't with you that day.
They weren't even close.
Chelsea Handler on E. She is 35 years old today. She's on E. Did you know that?
How about that? I didn't realize that.
Sean Astin's 39. Carrot Top is a must-see in Vegas, by the way.
Not for me.
I just mean you can't avoid the billboard.
You can't. Oh, I
see. And when you're driving from the airport, you must see that billboard.
Good.
He is 43. Nancy O'Dell, who used to be on Access Hollywood. Now she paints. Yes. She's dedicating her life to abstract art. She is 44
she hasn't
years
announced
old.
Her next movie.
That's
yet,
what I don't
think.
I heard she's going to be a farmer.
Really?
Yeah. Farmer in O'Dell.
No!
Oh, you need to be punched in the face.
I owe the dairy.
Technically, he did everything he came to do.
That was not an easy performance for him. No, he had to think through every moment, and he relied on all that training. Yep. He did it.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
That's almost Farmer too good for the
file.
I'm almost afraid to put that in the file because it's too good.
44 years old today. And Tay Leone is also 44 years old today. You have to cut me some slack. I'm still recovering from Stana leaving.
Yeah. Well,
I'm still trying to deal with the grief of that.
That is rough.
Stana Katic is gone.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. It's Friday morning. That means Ralph has the movie beat.
Mm-hmm.
He has seen Cop Out and will tell us about it.
Cool.
Speaking of Cop Out, we have Tracy Morgan on tomorrow morning show.
What?
Awesome.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
We have Dr. Mo on the show again tomorrow, who's done some research lately into the story that Bean brought up and wanted to believe wholeheartedly about the girl who got pregnant without a vagina.
He's done the research, and he's a doctor, and he would know, so he'll tell us whether he thinks that story is feasible or not. I can't wait for his conclusion.
We have Petros Papadakis in the studio. Talk about some sports. It's closing Olympic ceremonies. For those of you that are tired of it, this Sunday it comes to a close.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Everything
thank
back
you.
To normal. And it's Friday, so we have Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Tomorrow as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away, though. Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. And by the way, please go to krock.com because Kat has been doing something new lately. You can actually watch her do her show. She's actually streaming live video from inside the studio.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Bow.
So you definitely want to check that out and be listening as she plays Lay Me Down by the Dirty Heads, also Nirvana, Bad Religion, Silver Sun Pickups, and more right after this on K-Rock.